the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
All right, I think I got all the tapes. And, oh, you know what?
I know I forgot one.
What?
Let me make sure everybody's here first. There's
you, me.
Hello, hello.
Him. Hello,
yeah.
Him.
Hello,
him.
Hello.
Robbie.
Hi.
You know who we're forgetting?
Who?
The joyous Phil Hochberg.
Oh,
Phil!
No. Thank you, Phil. Phil, I told you they'd make it to the playoffs. Quit your worrying. And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Turner and Fonda and all the ships at sea. Say hi to the only two guys who predicted that all the computers would be Y2K compliant and that George Harrison wouldn't. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Thank you, Robbie. And hello and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide. Still, via Westwood One in the year 2000.
We're still associated with them in Y2K?
Yes, we are.
Good.
Don and Mike show. Dodger Audible, Mike O'Meara, coming to you from the crappy studios of WJFK FM in Washington, D.C. Heard every day on Westwood One with over 5 million Arbitron rated listeners. We thank you for your support. Here he is to my left and to your right. Also back, had his option picked up for the year 2000.
Yay!
Our friend Guy J. Birdley. Hello, huzzah, Buzz.
Huzzah. Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Well, it is, in fact, January 5th, year 2000.
I didn't always think I was going to live to the year 2000, so I'm very excited about it.
And frankly, I never thought I would say this, but
yes.
I almost called you over the weekend to see if you wanted to come in and go to work early on Monday.
Really?
Because we didn't have to be back until today.
Right. I would have.
Because the ratings don't actually start again until tomorrow, which is how we end up getting our vacation time.
I wouldn't have because of any you know, other than a sense of duty. If you had called me and said, you know, I think we should come back early, I would have come based on my feeling of guilt.
It had a slight feeling of guilt. It had nothing to do with the fact that I felt bad for anyone who might be listening to the show.
Oh, that wasn't it either. That's just my own guilt of being hanging around.
No, the reason that I wanted to come back early was...
Because your life was miserable on vacation.
Yeah, I had enough time off. I had enough time with my wife. I had enough time with my son. I had enough time with my wife's family. I had enough time with people.
Yes.
I'm ready. This is the one time of the year that you're going to hear me really glad to be back in this environment.
I always enjoy that. Do you know why I enjoy that?
Why?
Because I would say 2 hours from now, that will all be over.
But for now, it's nirvana.
It is always a rush to come back after our little Christmas break because we've been gone a relatively long time, mm-hmm. and we are very, very excited to be back. And then it just, I temper it now more than I used to because I know what the next few hours is.
No, I'm going to ride this wave.
There you go.
I'm going to ride it. I'm going to surf this wave.
Different. Why do you look different?
Hang 11.
You look different to me. Did you grow the sides out again?
I'm growing my beard again.
Okay.
My hair is growing.
Your hair is longer now. Longer, right?
Yes. Telephone number still the same as last year. 1-877-365-3636.
Well, hail, the gang's all here.
I missed you, sons of bitches. I really did.
You guys. It's sick. It's twisted. I really do.
I mean, by the time the vacation comes,
yes,
the week before Christmas, those last couple of days, they're always the dicest. I can't wait to get out of here.
I think they're the hardest shows to do of the year. They really are because we are really all ready for a break.
Mm-hmm. Then I go through a brief period of time, mm-hmm. but I'm glad not to be here, and I'm glad not to be with you.
Exactly.
Then I go through a brief period of time, much smaller, where I'm just really glad to be focused in on all of my immediate family.
Yeah, that's a very brief period of time, you said?
That was from about 10 o'clock on Christmas Eve till about 6 o'clock on Christmas morning. That's about the only thing. I really appreciate them.
Right.
Right after Christmas morning, mm-hmm. that's when I get, like, the emotional hangover.
Sure.
And that's when I started wondering, I wonder what all the boys are doing right now. And that's when things would be happening in the news, and I wish that we could somehow just
talk about
like call in and get on the radio to talk about stuff that's happening.
I did feel a little out of the loop watching all the coverage of Y2K. I really did feel as though, but you know, on one hand I felt that way. On the other hand, I said, well, that's for all the serious journalists that were all working. Do you know everyone in the media that was a serious journalist was working on New Year's Eve?
What a bunch of crap all of that was, too. But you can take that Peter Jennings coverage and you can shove it.
We watch the same coverage, though.
Of course, that's the only channel everybody in America watches, ABC.
I went to a New Year's Eve party. More people came up to me and said, "Did you see Paris?" You know, about the eighth person, that said to me, "Did you see Paris?"
When they did the,
flames shot out of its ass. I mean, all right, the Eiffel Tower.
I saw Paris. I saw I see London. I see France. I see Buzz's underpants. I mean, the fireworks on television are about as lame as you can get.
And then they went to one guy that was out like at a some sort of shanty town out in the desert, and he was miserable. And they were showing the celebration. And well, Peter, no celebrations here. Everybody here is just struggling to survive. I'm like, oh my God, what a terrible assignment.
I think that coverage on New Year's Eve was mainly the 24-hour coverage was mainly for people like my mother-in-law, people who have been around virtually for the entire 19th century,
right?
And really could feel things changing because she would be on the phone constantly saying, "Turn on the TV. It's midnight in India."
Yeah.
And like I turn on the TV and see somebody banging on a bongo or something. You go, okay.
A little weird. A little strange.
Whatever. But it made her happy. Anyway, point is, I'm glad to be back. I missed all of your guys.
Good to be back. Good to have you back.
Nice to have gigs in the year 2000.
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, this is wonderful. It's we've had a lot of good news, too, in the last couple of months.
You better set aside about maybe the whole show today for me to tell you about the vacation. Because I do have tons and tons of vacation stuff to tell you about.
Well, we were away for a good long time.
Yeah, I had a lot of stuff happen to my family that I want to tell you about. Lots of situations.
Everybody healthy, though? Everybody happy and healthy for Y2K?
Yeah, everybody's just fine.
And Happy New Year to our wonderful listeners, too. Let me be the first to say that while we're still enjoying the euphoria of the
greatest audience
in
radio.
I'd like to say Happy New Year to everyone that may call us in the year 2000.
Happy New Year!
That's everyone.
Right.
And starting with a nice, clean slate.
That's great.
Let me tell you something happened in between the time we were off and today.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it was, and I don't remember the date, the Monday after we took off, the Monday before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that it was that day that Bob Zabuda came down to the station?
That'd be December 20th.
Dressed as Tony Clifton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We missed him.
Yeah.
We missed him.
Well, we're not here for him.
That's why the movie did what it did.
Doing well.
Because he showed up on the Monday when we were gone.
He actually showed up on the wrong day, but I understand that it was kind of funny because he came into the station dressed in his blue tuxedo as...
Insulted everybody.
As Tony Clifton and got pissed off when Colette told him that we weren't here.
Really?
And thought it was some kind of a bit and ended up just leaving the radio station.
Oh, man, that's great. I wish he'd shown when we were here. It would have been a little bit better for promoting his film.
So Bob Zabuda was here. We were not here.
Yes.
Oh, we do have a new contest that will be starting today.
Good.
Very reminiscent of The Secret Sound.
Well, when you have a good thing, you don't change it. You improvise and you make little adjustments, and I think you've made a rather significant one here. I like this.
The celebrity laugh.
I like this a lot. I really do.
More just like The Secret Sound. It's the sound of a celebrity laughing.
Yeah, I know that you have put this together. Do you feel, and I have not heard anything, and I won't even know who they are, just like everybody listening. Are they, the celebrity laughs, will they be more difficult or less difficult than The Secret Sound?
I think they'll be more difficult.
Really?
Well, I'll play you the first laugh, the first celebrity laugh that we have right here.
All right,
I'll give you a free listen right now. We'll do it just like The Secret Sound. We'll start with $500.
Okay.
We'll do it most every hour of the show, and I'll get the jackpot up into the thousands of dollars.
All right.
So just as a free play right now for everybody, then we'll get to your telephone calls. Here's a free play on celebrity laugh number one. There it is.
Now I see you're giving just a tiny fragment of it.
Well, that's all I can give, Mike. Here it is. I'll give it to you again. That is celebrity laugh number one.
Okay. You got me again.
We're stumped.
Celebrity laugh number one.
I'm clueless.
Okay.
Damn.
All right. That is the first celebrity laugh. You will have a chance to call in to win the first $500 of the year 19, and excuse me, of the year 2000.
Right. Yes, 2000. And
you're just going to obsess on this.
I've already lost my concentration for the show because I'm thinking about old, young, male, female, and I can tell none of these things.
All right, well, then let me change the subject and mention to everybody listening to us in the D.C. area, on good old WJFK.
What a piece of news this is.
That every day this week... Oh, I'm not going to talk about the... You meant the ratings?
I thought you were going to say that, yeah.
No. Well, our ratings...
See, I lost my focus when you played that laugh.
We got our ratings again. Yeah, we're back at number one overall.
All right.
So thank you for your support.
All right.
I was going to say that we have the Redskins playoff tickets to give away.
Do we have those tickets?
Yes, we have a pair of playoff tickets today, a pair of playoff tickets tomorrow, and Friday, when we do a big, gigantic contest, we'll be giving away playoff tickets and... sideline passes to be on the sideline during the entire playoff game for the Redskins and the Detroit Lions.
And you won't even have to sit outside and enjoy the hot coffee and hot cocoa. Compliments of Mr. Snyder.
Yeah. Well, he's done so much for us.
He has.
Day.
You know, and I'll vote for him.
We'll be giving away Redskins playoff tickets.
I mean, I'm real happy that they went to the playoffs. But, geez, you know, they have the news stories now with the. And here's the hot cocoa. Well, you're buying tickets. You know, okay.
People, Mike, people are psyched. Just let me say two words to you.
I know.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, it hasn't been like that around here very long.
People are jacked up about the Redskins being in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's reminiscent of, you know, of all the other trips when this town goes a little nuts. And it's just so funny to see the people who are waiting outside in the cold. And, you know, little things mean a lot. I mean, there are owners that would not have provided.
That's right.
Those fans with the cocoa and the hot coffee.
That's right. Well, I was out at the park today.
Yes, and is everybody jacked?
Everybody was very jacked. They had received a box of T-shirts with Stephen Davis on them.
Mm-hmm.
That said, we're believing in Stephen.
Hey, fantastic.
Nice.
Is believing spelled with a P-H?
No, B-E-L-E-V-I-N.
Well, that'd be just a novel concept.
It's believing, like, yes. Like Catton, C-A-T-M,
right.
Believing.
We're believing.
And I think he spells his name S-T-E-V-E-N.
Oh, he doesn't spell it with a P-H. I thought it was S-T-E-P-H.
I think it's V.
Is there anybody on the team, Stephen, that spells it with a P-H?
Yes, the tight end, Stephen Alexander.
Stephen Alexander uses the P-H,
so
that's
right. So I was out there today waiting to do my interview with North Turner for the Redskins pregame show this weekend. And the first thing he says, because he sit down, he says, how you doing? I said, great, congratulations on making the playoffs. He says, yeah, I guess we're going to have to take down that for sale sign in front of my house.
Did you say something to him about that?
No, it's like out of the blue.
Really?
Today, the whole relationship went topsy-turvy with me and Norris.
So everything's okay?
Yeah, except he was like in a
Didn't you say something to him in one of your previous conversations? I know you said something about sell the house.
That's what he was mentioning to me. I mean, that's what he was throwing back at me.
Sure.
But I didn't get the feeling that he was throwing it out there in a playful mode.
Oh, just kind of digging you a little.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a guy who's been on the hot seat for a while. And, you know, now he gets to keep his gig and everything. So that's the first thing he said was, hey, I took the for sale sign out from my house.
And if they have good fortune to go deep into the playoffs, and perhaps to the big one, then you'll see, you'll probably be able to, out of all of this, see what your true relationship is with Norv. You will see the way he treats you at the top, because you've certainly
been there at the bottom with
the top.
Yeah,
big time.
Well, I'm excited for the Redskins. I was sad to see the Packers lose. Oh, you know, we went on in Green Bay last week.
Did we really?
Yes,
right.
If anybody cares, this show is heard every day.
Go, Pack, go!
On WNFL. Green Bay, Wisconsin, from 2 till 6 every day.
Sounds like the place to be. Rough year for the Green Bay Packers.
Later this year, we will sign on in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
We will also sign on in Pittsburgh and Phoenix.
Very good. And back in Phoenix, where we were on, I believe, for the shortest period of time ever.
So maybe a one-day stay.
The 80-year-old owner of the station heard our show and like, turn that crap off.
So we want to say, welcome, Green Bay.
Okay.
Yeah. Rah, rah. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Oh, my God. I'm the first caller of the new millennium. I feel so damn privileged. Hey, listen, quick shout out to Brandon and to the guy. I was down on the Las Vegas Strip for...
What a bummer.
That officially is the first guy I hung up on in the year 2000.
And exquisite judgment. I mean, not only, he was okay when he said, hey, first call of the new millennium.
That was nice.
It was shout out to Brandon that got him next.
Immediately.
You know, just for anybody that might be trying to change their tone in 2000.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. It's the new century, but it's the same old show.
Absolutely.
Oh, listen, hold on a second. Let's talk in a second. If one more person, I swear to God, I am going to deck the next person who insists on coming up to me and explaining to me why it's not the new millennium.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you watch all of ABC's coverage and see the hysterical bit that Al Franken did with Peter Jennings?
I think it's impossible that Al Franken did anything hysterical.
It was, you know, somewhere along the line, somebody's going to realize that Al Franken is not funny. And
you are being cynical.
He was horrible.
Of course he was horrible.
And he was doing that thing you were talking about, you know, where it's really not the new, you know, it's not really Y2K. And, oh, God, and he had a T-shirt that it was ridiculous.
I mean, you know, if everybody wants to get in this whole mindset of it's the new millennium, let people have their fun.
Sure.
Because really, if you want to be really technical about it, if you really want to be a ball buster about it, the whole thing is a crock of S word.
Yeah, really.
Because nobody really knows when time really started.
I agree.
Exactly. So really, you know, and not to mention the fact, if you're Jewish,
mm-hmm.
Hell, you're already on your 5,000, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? They're way past 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
So please, let everybody have their millennium fun.
I agree.
Thank you. That's one of the things that I wish I could have called in over the last 2 weeks and said.
Yeah, they say that it actually would start January 1 of 2001.
That's correct.
Right.
1 year from now.
Yeah.
Hello. Hi there. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi there. This is a new millennium and your favorite old, same old lesbian.
Oh, Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Hi, Cheryl.
Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Cheryl.
Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, Cheryl.
I got to tell you something. The funniest thing, they're going all over the world. They go to Amsterdam, and it's a bunch of fags in the middle of the city dancing to YMCA.
There you go. That's Amsterdam. Have you ever been to Amsterdam, Cheryl?
No, but Dave the Fag has a number of times, my friend.
Dave the Fag. Dave the Fag, Cheryl the Dyke, Homo Joe. Oh, you know what, Cheryl? I do have a bit of lesbian news also. Do you know that while we were on vacation, the Vermont State Legislature passed that ordinance allowing gay people to be married in the state of Vermont.
I guess we'll all have to move there, get winter coats, and move up there.
Which means that according to the conversations we had with their representatives, Ellen DeGenitals and Anne Heche,
right,
should be coming on this show this spring to get married.
Yes.
I'm so excited about that.
I think that's wonderful.
You guys are the best. And I got to tell you something. You played the best of while you were gone, and you played the ugliest breast contest, which is when I first, probably early part of me endearing myself to you guys.
Oh, that's true, Cheryl.
I got a bunch of phone calls. People listen even while you're away.
I know. Well, that's nice. Thank you, Cheryl. Happy New Year, Cheryl.
Happy New Year to all of you.
Thank you. Nice, Cheryl. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, we're glad that you will be coming up to Vermont for the Anne Heche and Ellen DeGenitals nuptials, as it were. Hey, on New Year's, I was in the Everglades watching fish play.
You mean Abe Vigoda?
Abe Vigoda, was he underwater?
You're right. Four guys from Vermont.
My wife, Bernice, has me in the sawgrass over here.
Playing to the largest concert in the world.
Oh, you mean the band Fish?
The band Fish from Vermont.
Goodbye.
Please.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Dynamite.
I was the first drunk of 2000. I'm still working on this New Year's Day.
You tell with the rambling, you know. Yeah, I was in the Everglades. No, you weren't.
You know who's really rambling? Did you watch any of that Bill Belichick conference yesterday?
You know, when they promoted it on SportsCenter as rambling?
You had to watch it live.
My curiosity.
You had to watch it live. It was on about this time yesterday. This guy came out. This lunatic, Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he's got issues.
He coaches the Jets like for 5 minutes.
Right.
He comes out and he's wearing a suit and tie, except the collar on his shirt is starting to point up.
It looked like he just got out of bed. He really looked like he had terrible bed.
And his tie is at a jaunty angle.
Right.
Karen looks like Moe from the Three Stooges. He comes out and he reads like a retard off a piece of paper. I will not be able to continue my affiliation with the New York Jets. So he reads it like a remedial reading student, then he puts the paper down, and then he launches into a 1 hour run on sentence. Which was just.
It didn't make any sense, the clips that I saw.
But you had to see it in its entirety to know that this guy was just out of his mind. It was just whatever came off the top of his head. Mm-hmm. He was throwing out there.
He seemed to be concerned with his previous experience with, I guess, Art Modell.
In the Cleveland Browns.
When he was in the Cleveland Browns, and they kind of screwed him in that situation. And he thinks because of the ownership change that's imminent in New York that they were going to do. But it really didn't
make
any sense.
Oh, it got a lot to do with Parcells.
Right, yeah.
And all that inside crap. And I'm just telling you, if you didn't see it live, and I don't know whose life would be so pathetic other than me that you would actually sit and watch this crap for an hour in the middle of a Tuesday afternoon, but I did yesterday.
And I'm sad today because our number one guy is gone, Mike Ditka's gone.
That was the only way to experience it.
You know,
I didn't know. Did Ditka get fired today?
He got fired today, yes. Moments ago he got fired.
Oh, Christ, the whole world is collapsing.
So are you going to coach again? And it was just a real brief snippet that I heard. Are you going to coach again? No.
Must be pissed.
Nah, I'm gone. That's right. You know, that's when it business works. When you get a few times, you're fired. You can't win quick.
He was very, very, very upset.
Well, I thought with Bill Belichick, the guy who had not gotten a lot of FaceTime on TV, as I was watching him yesterday, I thought, we missed a chance to maybe have our best psycho coach since the days when Jim Mora was wound real tight.
Now the Patriots say they're not interested in him now.
Yeah.
I think, really, yesterday was his. He may have harbored a desire to go up to New England, but I think after they saw that press conference.
Now, here's what I think happened. Really, this is the honest truth.
Uh-huh.
Now, Robbie, I need the soap opera music, please.
Yeah. I'm good.
Because I'm really convinced that this is how this whole thing with the Jets went down. That
Sorry, there was a celebrity laugh.
There was the free laugh for you. That Parcells found out that the Patriots wanted to hire Belichick.
Okay.
So Parcells said, because he hates Kraft,
yeah.
He said, I'm going to F him over. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to quit. I'm still going to be the CEO. I'm still really going to run everything. But if I quit, Belichick has to take the job. So Parcells, out of the blue, comes out and drops this bomb on Monday, right? Says, I'm quitting. Well, very coincidentally, Belichick is not at the press conference for Parcells on Monday.
Yep.
Someone asked Belichick about it. He says, I wanted to give Bill his moment. So I think Belichick stews on this on Monday night, and he says, F Parcells, man. I've been living under this guy's thumb for the last 15 years. Who the hell is he to tell me what you know I'm going to do? I'm going to get there tomorrow. I'm going to bounce the ball back in his court, say, F you, I quit.
I don't think that's implausible at all.
That's exactly what I think happened.
I don't think that's a scenario that's totally off the wall.
And I think now that you will see Parcells have a press conference, and he will announce, for the good of the Jets franchise, he will come back and coach one more year.
That I don't think will happen.
Ah, you want to do some dreidel dollars on that?
Yeah, 10 dreidel dollars it says he doesn't, because I just don't think, Parcells, with the press conference he gave, I just don't see him doing
it. I think the press conference was total BS.
They're all BS, especially when they say, I'm never coaching again. Well, they're back like two seasons later.
That's what I'm saying. What I think is going to happen with Parcells.
Well, everybody's saying that Parcells is the guy now that has to, he's the really in the hot seat, because I believe that whole scenario.
He started everything in motion. He's the guy that said, hey, you know what? The Patriots want to hire Belichick. Well, F them. Watch this.
And now Kraft.
I'm going to quit.
Kraft has said, not interested.
He doesn't want Belichick now.
Which is just like, hey, all right. Have fun. Meanwhile, the New York Jets are in total disarray.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Team in turmoil.
It's fun to watch.
Exactly.
The NFL, more intense postseason this year than I've ever seen in previous years. Everybody, everybody going everywhere. And who would have thunk it that right here in Washington, D.C.
Coach of the year, North Carolina. I swear to God,
total stability.
Coach of the friggin' year. Our buddy, North. Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike?
Yes, we are. Hello.
Hey, first time caller. Just wanted to tell you guys what a great job you do. Planned my trip to take my son back to college today so that I could come back through Hagerstown on my way to D.C. and listen to you. But this question is really for Mike. What do you think about Mike Ditka and his staff, and do you think his bra size has gotten any bigger?
I tell you, no. I'm going to answer just like Ditka did.
No.
I don't think it has. No. I'm gone.
No.
I think he said I'm gone. I'm not sure, but it was really clipped. You didn't get any audio from that, did you?
No audio. He just said, if you don't get the job done, you're out of there. He said the decision on the organization's part was clear cut, and he didn't try to fight.
And in his comment about...
No.
I'm gone.
Something like that. Really, like Ditka's, the angry Ditka, removing the lavalier microphone in the middle of the answer. I'm gone, ass.
I'm going to miss him.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Looking at the TV Guide readers poll, favorite actress in a comedy, Felicia Rashad nominated, but Leah Remini, not there. Pissed off. What's up with that, dude?
Do you know when we were... I don't know, dude, Sickle.
Thanks, though.
Don't know. Angry. Wish finished sentence.
You know, when we were on vacation, the King of Queens soared to their highest ratings ever, that they actually made the top 20 like 2 weeks in a row.
It's all because of our groundwork.
Mm-hmm. I'm so over her now. I swear to God, I'm so over her. You watch when we get her on the show in the new year.
What are we going to... What do you mean over her?
What I mean is... I'm not carrying the torch for her anymore.
Okay, but she still will be a friend.
Oh, of course she will. We'll still have her on the show as much, and we're still going to go out there and do our walk-ons at 8. We're playing ourselves on King of Queens.
I simply want it to be, I want the relationship to be as it was based on the fact that we will still... I don't think you have to feign your torch for her, we are not going to be able to maintain it.
I will try to, but I told you up in the office today, I talked over the weekend... Three separate times to Janine Garofalo.
Yeah, I know.
I am now carrying the hugest torch in the world for Janine Garofalo.
What sitcom does she have on a major network?
She has no sitcom. And she has bad, bad-smelling corduroy pants.
And she wears again and again and again.
But, my friend that works at the Improv called me up. He was a guy who actually hooked Bob Zemuda up to coming on the show the day that we weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
Called me over the weekend. I've talked to Janine Garofalo on the telephone before.
And it's, it started out of anger, and now it's blossomed into a potential love affair.
I talked to Janine Garofalo on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to her Monday. And I talked to her yesterday, Tuesday.
Now, is she coming on the show?
I don't know. That's part of the charm of it.
So you weren't even thinking show. You were just thinking about your torch.
Right.
Wow.
Just me and Janine.
So all of your energy, all of your romantic energy that you have not used up on your wife that is sitting there out there that was formerly reserved for
Remedy. All of my stalker love.
Stalker love.
My stalker fantasy life love.
Right.
Has now been lifted off Leah. And put back on the shoulders of Janine Garofalo.
Wow. Did you think of Leah at all on the holiday?
No. I did not.
Mm. Really?
Well, maybe when I watched the show one time.
Right. I thought of her actually on Christmas.
Did you really?
I was thinking it would have been nice. I didn't do it. I didn't do anything because, you know, that's just me, the thoughtful person that I am. I always think of nice things to do after the fact or whatever. I even forgot to send it to half my family. I forgot to send Christmas gifts. So, I mean, I was very irresponsible. I remembered everybody here at work, but I forgot to send Christmas gifts. That was my actual New Year's Day call from my mom, which was wonderful. Hi, Mom. Happy New Year. Did you send the kids up north any gifts? I said, oh, my God. Happy New Year. And, I just forgot. But I thought it would have been nice to send a gift to Leah.
Nah.
You know, like lobsters or something like
that. No, please. That's a random sentimental thought.
Listen to you.
We got to send anybody a gift. We got to send old Corduroy's a gift. I'm telling you, the next time I talk to her, I will ask her to call into the show.
Excellent.
I got a real dialogue going with her now.
With Janine.
Yes. They've been brief conversations.
She's doing any? She's going to be in some features, isn't she?
No,
feature movies.
You know what's great? We haven't talked about the biz, man.
Really?
We don't talk about the biz.
What do you talk about?
Oh, about movies. Yeah. About what I was watching on TV yesterday.
Strange.
I know.
Do you talk about sex at all?
No, absolutely not.
But there is something sexual there.
Well, there is on my end. I don't think there is on her end.
Well, it seems to me she's spending a lot of time talking with you.
Well, it's been 3 days in a row now, and I have not called her. I don't have her telephone number. I tried to star 69, and I can't.
She couldn't give you her telephone number. It's stalker love.
I can't. When I do the star 69, it says this number's blocked. This number's private.
Wow.
So it's just been 3 days in a row now. The first day was when the guy from the improv was on the telephone.
Right.
And he called up and he says, hey, I have someone on the phone. You know, I talked to her about 4 months. Did a conference call. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. And then
Leah is so much hotter than Janine Garofalo, though. I mean, but just on basic appearances, Leah is so much hotter. And Leah has done so much more for you.
I know that, Mike. I know that. But I want to tell you something. That when you stack the two of them up next to each other.
Yes.
Janine Garofalo seems to be much more attainable.
I'll give you that.
Oh,
absolutely.
I mean, we've known Leah Remedy for how long?
Nothing to do with attainability.
No, and well, you know me. Listen, I am a super celebrity stalker.
And I know that Leah turned you off during those days before Christmas.
Yes, she did. Frankly, the whole letter thing, I have not let it go yet for this one.
I understand that.
The fact that, you know, I was at best fourth on the food chain with the Christmas love letters.
Charlie was first, wasn't he?
Of course he was.
Down.
Of course he was.
Yeah, I can understand.
Not that I carried a letter with me, but
I still have it in this file.
Dear Charlie, here's what I like about you and I.
You have all the letters?
Yeah.
Could you read them all, please?
Oh, come on.
I want to hear them again. I just want to... I'm sorry. Maybe I am still stronger in love with Leah.
A little bit.
Maybe I always have been. I just didn't tip my hand.
Let me see.
Dear Mike.
That's so cute.
Very few cause COZ. I have a lot I can say that I adore about you. I think you're hysterically funny. I love that you know by doing your mommy dearest impression you make me laugh and you do it every time I ask.
Yes.
But if I had to pick just one, when you came to my house, you felt so comfortable to not only smoke my first pack of cigarettes, but then smoke the next pack, and you had the balls to drink all the wine that you supposedly bought for me.
That's right.
I especially enjoyed the moment when you thoroughly brainwashed yourself into thinking that I was setting you up with a massage girl you wouldn't go in and made Don go in first. This still makes me laugh.
Good.
Love, Leah.
Okay.
And then here's my letter. Something a brother would get from a sister. Dear Don. And when I say a sister, I mean a sister who became a nun. Dear Don. Yours was a good one also.
Yeah.
What I like about you is that you two are genuine, sweet, and caring. You revealed this to me so graciously. I love that when we were at my house, you pulled me aside and were so genuinely touched that I had you all there. You told me how much you appreciated me. You touched me with your sincerity.
Now, that's it.
I love when I saw you guys at the radio thing. You wouldn't talk to me till we were on the air.
I appreciate all the love you show me in general. There are people, a lot of businesses, so serious you are.
Thank you.
And then you go to the...
Yeah, now I understand. Hearing your letter again, I can understand where it's coming from.
All right, listen, as Michael Jackson says, yeah. She's out of my life.
No, she's not, though.
No, she's not. She's still the hottest woman on the planet. I'm not changing my vote. Leah will easily knock Janine out of the box with a few words, well chosen words, you know. And the next time we go out to Los Angeles, if we have, you know, more contact with her, that torch, it's easy to ignite that torch. Well, Mike, I just want to put you like this. I have a professional relationship with Leah Remini. And I think I have a personal relationship with Janine Garofalo.
Well, then show us this Janine Garofalo.
Producer.
I shall. Producer, bring her on this show.
I shall.
Because none of us can relate to this woman at all.
Okay, I shall.
This woman of whom you speak.
But this is part of the charm, I believe. This is
why I believe things are going well with
Rob, you're right. Bring her in person.
Oh, he knocked it off. We do the PU side. I got citrus
for it.
Shut up, you guys.
A lot of love for Leah in this room.
Oh, I still love Leah,
okay.
Remini.
Okay. I'm just telling you, I'm excited because there's another woman on the TV who I've talked with on the telephone. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, right. I'm very excitable.
If Leah was to call today, I'd probably go home tonight.
Yeah, and dream about her instead of dreaming about Janine Garofalo.
Okay.
All right, that's fine.
I'm just excited.
Is Leah, I mean, do we know even outside of your conversations, is Janine Garofalo
going to be in anytime soon?
I don't think so.
Totally a standstill.
Okay. Just like ours.
Tread and water. We have so much in common.
There you go. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Happy New Year, guys.
Oh, Gladys.
You're not supposed to go.
No.
Yes,
Robbie,
Robbie,
until February.
Hold on, Gladys. Robbie has February.
No.
Robbie has
Robbie has a restriction.
And you know what? We're even flirting you that because you appeared in the Best Of segment over the past 2 weeks. So that was just gravy.
Oh, that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
That's just a gift, but not until February.
No.
Sorry, February, Gladys.
Now
March. That was her February appearance.
That's right. March now, Gladys.
March.
He's at the end of March.
Very dedicated listener to this show, but
please, not the first day back from vacation.
Please.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was really glad about the thing they had on the BBC.
What thing on the BBC?
The 8 version to win the keys. You also could give me on New Year's Day.
8 women locked. You know, I believe I did hear something about this, that there were 8 women.
Who's with this guy so
locked in a cave?
Locked in a cave.
No, eight women.
8 yeah. women went to a remote location.
They were all virgins.
Yes. And they all got
the high hard ones.
One guy did it.
It was some ritual. We reported on it about a month before it happened that this was going to happen, and it was a part of this culture that the BBC was covering in some island country. And this guy was supposed to.
Oh, I remember when you had that.
It was with 8 women who were virgins, and they were all going to come out not virgins.
And they did, sir. I hung up on him already.
Okay.
So tough to get information on this show.
Well, this radio was up late, I know.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I got a question for Mike.
Yes?
Does it sound like your bullet just going off? I think Frida got to Don over the Christmas holiday. I think that's what's happened with Leah Remini.
No, I regard
the wife. I thought there was any. You mean that Frida doesn't?
I don't doubt that it's. I can understand what. Do you understand what this guy's saying? That your wife probably
put pressure on me to sustain my love for Leah.
That is
not.
She's been patient. She's been.
She's
been. We've all heard.
No one could give a rat's ass about Leah Remini or Janine Garofalo. As a matter of fact, when my wife came home yesterday, I jumped off the couch and I said, "I just got off the phone with Janine again."
Right.
And she gave me a look of total disinterest.
See, I realize I'm very calm though with you carrying that torch and being very demonstrative about your love of Leah Remini. You see, I don't want to have to be the one that takes, you know, picks up that slack.
You can fake it, right?
Yeah, you're good.
You can fake it. I'll string her along.
All right, happy after New Year.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
See, I think what that guy was saying was he thinks that maybe, you know, during that long period of time that you spent with your wife, that perhaps she said, you know, I'm really concerned about this.
Now, that's funny.
That's why I didn't say anything.
That's funny.
It is funny.
Please. I mean, I had plenty of arguments with my wife over the holidays, which I will outline in great detail on today's show.
Yes.
Not one of them had anything to do with Leah Remini.
So Leah Remini wasn't even discussed on the vacation?
Never.
That's good.
Never. Not even on the great F.U. day. Which is what we now refer to the 1st of January.
Oh, really? The F.U.
you did.
Yes, you did.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
Oh, boy, did I miss you guys.
Oh, miss you. Miss you more, I'm sure.
Yeah, your best stuff was great, but I just wanted to interject. I saw Janine Garofalo in the Tom Green show, and she's looking good. She slimmed down. Her facial features are very nice. She's cleaned up.
Well, happy Y2K after you.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
By the way.
Hey, buddy.
How'd you guys end up doing in your fantasy football league? Did you guys make the playoffs, all that good stuff?
We have got to, we've got to the Super Bowl. One of the Super Bowl participants is broadcasting to you right now.
I made it all the way to the Super Bowl, but here's a shocking development. Charles Brindle beat me at our fantasy Super Bowl.
And I was saying to Charlie up in the office, that would be like Paul Tagliabue owning a football team and winning the Super Bowl.
Well, I stayed on top of him during the playoffs. I made him send me his lineup in advance.
That's good. That's
so
good.
He couldn't hit me by slipping players into the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, when we were at the Redskins game 2 weeks ago for our final week, for the week of the fantasy football, which is the final regular season game,
right?
We were actually watching the games as they were happening. I mean, he's just a lucky son of a bitch.
Yeah, you got real lucky.
He started Steve Berline. You realize on the last weekend of the year, Steve Berline had 5 TD passes and threw for 300 yards.
He just had, and so you verified that was his real lineup and everything, and that sucks.
Yeah, he killed me.
But you and I went to the playoffs also, so I got eliminated in the first round, but I was happy that I didn't even think I had a chance of making the playoffs. So I forgot who beat me in the first round of the playoffs. Do you remember?
Who beat you? I think.
I don't even remember who beat me. Somebody beat me in the first
round. I did.
Did you beat you? Yeah. You beat me in the first round.
I played you, then I played Johnny Planks.
Right.
Then I played Charlie Boyle in the Super Bowl. That's where I lost.
And the commissioner has won the league.
Yeah.
So anybody, all those thoughts of, having a tainted league and a dishonest commissioner, I think that's, there's more evidence right there that's probably true.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Man, I had one hell of a New Year's. Right at the stroke of midnight, I was trying to squeeze out a little fart and I crapped my pants.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thanks for saving me.
No problem, man.
Those are big days.
Those are the party, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
Buddy. Hey, I wanted to find out what you thought about Ken Stevens' little promotion.
Oh, we haven't even talked about that yet. I think Liddy talked about it. I think it's
such a deal. Did Liddy talk about it?
Yeah.
Okay, I think so.
Yeah, he talked about it a little bit.
Yeah. Our fearless leader, Ken Stevens, is no longer our fearless leader. It's a great day for us, really.
Yeah, he's been promoted. The company somehow has clouded their own judgment by moving him up on the food chain.
We're finally free of the burden, the albatross known as Ken Stevens, hanging around our neck.
Yes, we must coronate a new leader here at our home station in Washington, D.C.
But he's someone who's very familiar to everybody on this show.
Oh, absolutely. He's logged his share of airtime.
Big Al Linewarn is the new general manager.
Yes, and that will be his new name.
Big Al. Big Al.
Big Al. Now, he likes to be called Alan, but unfortunately,
no. Now that he's GM, he has to be Big Al.
Big Al.
Big Al. Big Al.
That's what it has to be when he's the GM. It's got to be Big Al, your radio pal.
Well, now, have you noticed since he's become GM how much more fun he's been?
No.
He's always been fun.
Rather impossible. No,
any more fun than he was as sales manager.
I saw him in the hallway just yesterday.
And I left laughing. He's just happy.
Yeah. He's fun.
Oh, he's happy. All right. Big Al, your radio pal.
Yeah, so they dropped this bomb on everybody at the Christmas party this year.
That Ken got up and was ready to make his annual State of the Station speech.
Mm-hmm. Said something along the lines, it's been a great year. We've set all kinds of records. It's been tremendously successful. But there is going to be a change. And when he said that, you weren't talking about the hush falling over the crowd. It was just this palpable.
And then he announced that he was going to the station in New York,
mm-hmm.
a station that I would guess you and I will be on very soon.
Certainly hope so.
Right. It's the station we turned down that morning show on about 8 months ago. WNEW in New York. Ken announced he was going to leave D.C.
Yep.
to go to New York to be this general manager. And as soon as he announced that Alan was the new general manager, I don't know if you noticed this.
Oh, it's hysterically funny.
Everybody who had been even sitting in their chairs kissing Ken's ass from afar, all of a sudden, all of the focus went away from Ken.
Yep.
And immediately,
went to Allen.
Yeah, everybody was congratulating him and sucking up to him, and it was fun to watch.
Ken was sitting alone by himself.
Absolutely. It was really a blast to watch because it was the most, naked example of ass-kissing I've ever seen in my life.
Frieda said to me, it's very much like she said two things that were great. She said, first, it's like an experiment that you see with monkeys.
Right.
So, like, the leader of a group of monkeys gets killed.
Sure.
And then the new monkey steps up, and all of the monkeys gather around the new monkey.
Right.
She said, either that or in the mafia,
yeah,
when a guy is made,
you pay your respects,
right,
to the new Don.
Yeah.
The new godfather.
I said, I like the monkey story better than the mafia story, but either way, they're both very accurate that people immediately started the ass kissing with the new general manager.
And it really threw a monkey wrench into the party. I think
absolutely.
The party was, first of all, I think it's one of the best as far as logistics and food and drink, one of the best one we've ever had. But the party was destroyed at that moment, in my humble opinion. I mean,
that's why we left.
Yeah,
we left like at 11 o'clock.
We went up to the, the after party. You know, I went up to the after party, and it was very, very mellow compared to, didn't you think so, Ron?
Yeah.
Yeah, very mellow compared to last year, and that's because, I mean, everybody was probably taking stock of their relationship with Alan, which was now, very important because Ken was just, see you later.
Well, I don't know exactly what the deal is. We're going to have to pull Alan in here at some point, but when I was sitting with Ken at some point during that evening at the Christmas party, Ken said to me, do you think I made a mistake by announcing this tonight? And I said, well, if you announce it tonight or announce it on Monday, people are going to be flipped out.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, but people are drinking and everything now. He said, I wouldn't have said it tonight if Alan hadn't made me. Alan came up to Ken
and said, announce it tonight.
Announce that I'll be taking over the station.
I think it was a good move to do it that way because it was, first of all, I like the drama. I do like the drama.
It was great drama.
Yeah. And there was half, kind of halfway. I'm about a quarter way into the party. So there had been a little imbibing going on. So you really got some genuine reaction.
Some people are very upset about the fact that Ken is not going to be working here anymore.
It was funny.
Don't count anybody in this room among that group.
No.
There were some people in this building who were actually moved to tears that Ken was going to be leaving.
It was pretty interesting to watch. It really was.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It was a wild situation, man.
It was. And that is why I think it was great to do it that way. It just was fun because, everybody looking around the room, checking each other out. Everybody was looking for reactions.
Everybody kept coming up to me and saying, did you know about this?
Because you are one of the guys in the know, myself included.
I didn't know, and
I said, if you didn't know, I don't think there's anybody else here. Maybe one or two guys that might have known, but it was.
I did know that he was going to NEW though.
After the fact, you knew that.
Yeah,
yeah.
But even that was like when he said that to me. He said, but don't tell anybody. So immediately went and told Mike.
I know. And then I probably held on over for about 2 hours before I started talking.
It's great, Mick. Everybody here a little uptight.
Yeah.
I understand there's already been some hassling between the salespeople back there because, everybody wants a promotion. Everybody wants to see how the new hierarchy is going to play out.
I think that everything will be fine if they keep some of the same underqualified people in the positions of authority.
Well, Ken is not giving up his office.
That blew me away when you told me that. I mean, he's going to keep his choice office on the second floor.
Yes, he is.
The one thing that really bothered me is that he said, now I want you to know I will still be checking in and I will still keep my office. I was the only one who clapped. I was excited.
Rob, and no one
else clapped.
Rob had a little party at that point. And
I was enjoying
Rob. Rob's big ham of hands came together with a... And I knew, something? Here's the scary thing. I knew it was Rob from the applause.
Yeah, but you see...
Well, you hear it all the time.
But no one else clapped. I was excited that Ken would still be.
I'll be staying on in a supervisory capacity. Rob, one guy.
Most people, Rob, at that point, had immediately taken all of the ass kissing affection to Ken, and immediately were transferring that to Alan.
Absolutely.
Not me. I was just excited that Ken would still be around.
And here's a question for you because you were in most last week.
Yeah.
How has Alan's demeanor been? Has he changed?
He actually, the only encounter I had with him was he was in the bathroom. I went into the bathroom and I said, what are you doing here? I thought you got to use the general manager's bathroom now. He says, no, just one of the guys. Okay. Something to that effect.
So same old Alan.
Yeah, I imagine that there's been some ball bustery going on and he was just sort of grinning and bearing it.
He's a tough guy. We've always acknowledged
he's a
tough
fun guy. You know, I think who really has to worry around here, and I mean this seriously, the gerbil.
Sure. Jeremy Coleman. If there's anybody in this building that should be fearful of their job, it's Jeremy Coleman. Because I will tell you the scam that he has perpetuated over the last 5 years.
Really?
Ken, because he's such an absentee manager, he was always at the other stations all the time. How many times, I was going to say during the summer, but even during the fall, would you come in here? And you go, where's Jeremy? But Jeremy's not in today.
Right.
Jeremy's out. All the days that Ken was out, Jeremy would be out.
Yeah, Jeremy's going to have to log a lot more time at the ranch now.
Right, and Jeremy's going to, and I think Alan's going to be a guy, because Alan's here every day.
Yeah, the whole, you're absolutely right about that dynamic, with the fact that someone is going to be in charge every single day.
Alan's going to be going to Jeremy, he's going to say, tell me something, what do you do here? And when Alan was the sales manager, it really didn't matter to him that Jeremy basically sits in his office and plays video games and talks to his mom on the phone like he was today when I went in there.
And rearranges his furniture.
Constantly.
Right.
Constantly. Well, now he's going to have Alan up there. Mm-hmm. Even if Alan doesn't have the office right next to Jeremy, he's going to have Alan up there and go, hey, what are you doing?
Absolutely.
What are you doing? What does the program director of the station do?
He'll probably rig up some sort of elaborate tripwire system for when Alan's coming upstairs.
Like something like in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, exactly.
Ferris Bueller had that big mannequin, and he would turn on the tape recorder sound, and he was snoring.
Yeah, and you're going to just have a little tape recorder set up behind his desk, so when somebody knocks on the door, I'm sorry, I can't come to the door. I'm knee-deep in paperwork. Please come back later.
Oh, that's going to be a very interesting dynamic for us to explore in the coming days.
You know, I haven't been here long enough to really get a feel for the mood of the building. It's so far...
They're like scared rodents, Mike.
Really?
They are. Everybody that I've encountered today has been very tentative.
How about, at the football game? Everybody seem okay there that you talked to from the station? Everybody seem...
No, even those people were tentative.
Ah.
The Redskins game over the weekend.
Interesting.
Everybody was saying, so, what do you think about the change? I don't think it's going to affect me and Mike too much.
No, we are, you and I like Alan, and I think that's good, and I think we have a good relationship with him, and I was just enjoying watching everybody else's reaction, because it was just fun to look at the faces.
People were squirming, absolutely they were.
And I say, let me make it real clear, when I say I like Alan, but he is now the general manager.
I don't like him now
because he is a general manager.
Don't like him, can't trust him.
That's it.
You can never socialize with him again.
That'll be it.
Have to get a tombstone made for him.
That's right.
Alan Lineman, welcome to the office, my friend. Okay, listen, we're up on a break. Oh, that's a shocking development. We went an hour on our first break today.
I can't imagine how that happened.
We have to play commercials. Let me give you a chance right now to win the first $500 of the year 2000.
All right.
Be the 100th caller on our toll-free line at 1-877-365-3636. Identify this celebrity. That is a celebrity laughing.
You guys, you tricksters.
Who is this?
Oh, man.
Give you a shot at that right now.
It must have been out of the loop.
You are the 100th caller. Good luck. Phone number is still 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We call this Secret Celebrity Lab, okay?
The Secret Celebrity Lab.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, am I the 100th caller?
Yes, you are. What is your name?
Jim Kosher.
Continuing a fine tradition of mumbling contest callers that started years ago on this show.
Jim Kosher Pickle.
Jim, where are you calling from?
Rochester, New York.
Jim, caller number 100, and you have won a VHS copy of MTV's The Real World in Hawaii.
Great.
There's the singular clap by Bob Seawack.
You can hear that in the back of the studio right now.
Courtesy of Sony Music Entertainment. All right, are you ready to try the Secret Celebrity Laugh?
I'll give it a shot.
Have you heard it?
Yes, I have.
All right, good luck.
Good luck on the SEL.
I will play you the celebrity laugh. And then, Mike, we're using the same music as we did for Secret Sound.
Okay.
So once again, you'll be able to sing like Hank Hill.
Very good. I'm looking forward to that. I've had a bit of a sinus drip, so let's see how it goes.
Or anybody you choose.
Okay, very good.
Good luck for $500. Name the celebrity laugh. There is the celebrity. And now we will give you 15 seconds to think about it. Celebrity laugh, first one worth $500.
Oh. Yes! Yes!
Got it.
Yes! 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 Oh, yes! Yes! Yes!
$500 was What is the secret celebrity laugh? Who is it?
Is it David Letterman?
Would you please repeat that?
David Letterman?
Not a chance.
I thought he had it.
Not
a chance.
Yeah, here it is again. Yep. Not David Letterman.
Wow.
Not even close. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Great guess, though.
Don't forget that every guess
is a clue for you.
In the year 2000 with the secret celebrity laugh, which I know is very similar to the secret sound, but you know, what the heck. People enjoyed the secret sound. Yes, Mike.
I have a question.
I could tell because you had your hand in the air.
About the secret celebrity laughs. Are these a variety of levels of celebrity? Can they be any level of celebrity? Or are these mega celebs, or are they the, you know, top tier?
All of them are nationally recognized celebrities.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
There will be no Ken Brews in this crowd.
Ah, very good. All right, that's
okay.
Good to hear.
There will be no Doreen Genslers.
Okay, I understand.
Okay, there will be no Marty Basses.
There's Marty Bass, man.
No.
Come on now.
All national celebrities.
All right.
Did you get the drunk call from the Martskys on Christmas Day?
No, I did not.
I wish I would have saved this.
They were calling you and they were loaded.
I think that I erased the message from my machine at home. But on Christmas Day, of course, we weren't at home on Christmas Day. We were up at my wife's house and at the in-law's house up at the beach. But we called in for the messages. Frida said to me, you've got to hear this. And I will try to recreate it for you now.
Rudy, wishing you a Merry Christmas.
All I can think is that they were just bombed.
Right.
On Christmas Day. Because, hey, Don. Because, listen, I never get a call from Rudy on anything except something that's show-related.
Sure.
Don. Rudy Martsky. Hey, just going to say, have a holly Christmas.
Is it really
holly Christmas?
Oh, God.
Have a holly Christmas.
That's Rudy all the way.
We're thinking about you guys. We're out in California.
Oh.
Getting ready for Wisconsin in the bowl game.
Oh, my God. That's right. The Badgers.
Hold on. Mouse wants to say something.
Oh, now you
then,
know.
So this is the key that they're bombed.
Oh, absolutely.
And then it should be the biggest. Oh, Don and Frida. Merry Christmas. We're thinking about you. How you guys doing?
Oh, God.
How's little Bart doing?
Oh, my God.
And then she gives the phone back to Rudy and goes, yeah. No, hold on. Julie wants to say something.
Oh,
for you.
My. The big party. Everybody having a big party.
So then his soon-to-be daughter-in-law, who used to work here, she gets on the phone. And says, oh, she's bombed, too. Hi, Don. It's Julie. Tell everybody I really miss them. How's everybody doing there? And then she gave the phone to Brett.
Brett Martsky
picks up the phone.
Oh, my God.
It was wacky. It was
a party in Christmas at the Martsky. I guess they were in some hotel somewhere.
I think
or maybe they were at
Brett's house out in California.
That's right, because that's where he lives.
I don't know why we...
Let me try my old lady real fast.
She had a theory, I don't remember what it is now, on why we got the message from the Martskys. Is it that she called them? Oh, crap, I don't remember what it was. Maybe we sent them
a... Hi, Sugar Bear.
Hey, honey.
Yes.
Why did the Martskys give us that drunk call on Christmas?
Because they like you.
No, but come on. You told me over the break that there was some reason. We did something to...
Oh, we sent them a Christmas card.
That's it.
We sent a Christmas card.
That's
that
good.
Must be why we got the call.
I see. My theory would be that they're all hanging out, and they're talking about D.C., and they're talking about Washington. They're talking about all their experiences back here. And then they say, hey, let's give them a call. It happened. You don't think so, Fred?
I think it's a guilt. when you get a Christmas card from someone you forgot to send one to.
You know, we also got it. We got another call from another guy, a friend of ours who we haven't heard from for over 2 years, and I'm pretty sure that call was strictly Christmas guilt.
Right.
Because this guy just called out of the blue. He's a guy we haven't had any contact with for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know how sometimes you're friends with people and then you kind of lose contact?
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. But it was like on Christmas Eve, this guy called, hey, how you guys doing? I'm thinking about you. Give me a call.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that was just, this guy was like watching It's a Wonderful Life or something. Right?
Yeah. Well, that's the time of year. Everybody gets a little sentimental. And then the nice thing is, you know, now everybody's back at work after the holiday. Everybody's just dead serious and we'll forget everyone again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm ready to talk about our big... holiday break.
Yeah, well, I would love to, but I'm in a bad cell, and because I my expectations for the new year for an era of peace and love and greater growth kind of ended on the FU day, which was January 1st.
You know, it wasn't only me and you with the FUs, it was your sister-in-law with the FU, and...
No, I know, everybody was kind of overtired over parties.
Well, it's a big mistake. Let me say this, it's a big mistake. First off, it's a big mistake to have a party with your family. If you're going to go to a party, you should go to a party with with people that you don't have to live with.
No, I thought it was wonderful. Right. I liked the party, but then you just see them 2 days in
a
row. And because my brother got sick, we did, you know, more than our usual share of the hosting, and we were just a little overtired.
We had a New Year's Eve party with my wife's entire family over, all the kids and everybody.
So you threw the New Year's Eve party?
Yes, and then my brother-in-law, who has the New Year's Day party,
right?
He got sick.
So you threw the New Year's Day party?
Right, so my wife, who wants to, like, be the savior of her family, she said, listen, I've got a great idea. Why don't we have all of the same 50 people over, you know, 5 hours from now? And it didn't go well.
I guess not.
It did. Fine. Everybody,
no, I've been behind
first, everybody was very mellow. I mean, but it would have been easy to erupt in gunfire or something because it was, you know, everybody was overtired.
That's
too much family.
Honey, listen, you know, this would probably be easier if I talk about this without you. But I love you. I'll see you later.
Well, don't make me mad. You did so well over the holidays, and my family loves you, I love you.
Right,
don't blow it now.
Here's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about your fiasco on Christmas Eve.
It was a wonderful dinner. Christmas
with the caroling. Hold on, the caroling was a fiasco.
I can't play the piano in front of other people. That's the only thing.
I'm going to talk about the huge Simpsons fight that we had on New Year's Eve. I'm going to talk about the cookie games you made us play. I'm going to talk about your hokey time capsule. I'm going to talk about the under-the-scenes, behind-the-scenes fight you were having with your sister. About her party being at her house?
No, that's not so. That's joking around.
Oh, you're such a liar.
Look, I'm very happy with you after the holidays. Don't screw it up.
So that you don't want me to talk about that?
No, because you will make it like I wasn't joking, and I was.
Oh, all right. Well, then, how about if I say that you were joking?
No, because you never say it like that.
I'll say it right now. I'll say it with you on the phone.
No.
How about if I say it now, and if you don't like it, you can amend it.
Just play it safe. Just play it safe.
All right. Well, it's a good story, though.
No, it was.
Really? It's a good story.
Sounds like you were well-behaved over the holidays.
He was the nicest, lovingest family man over the holidays.
That's great. My wife must think I'm an absolute retard, because one of these games... Thank you, Rob.
I hear the Rob's hams coming together.
One of these games that we were playing that we were forced to play on New Year's Eve...
Getting those arms back in shape, aren't you, Rob?
One of these ridiculous games that my wife made was where she got, like, a bunch of sayings from the 20th century.
Oh, she made the game up herself?
Yes.
I made many games.
She wrote them on... I'll tell you about those. She wrote them on big poster boards, and it said, like, I shall return...
Douglas MacArthur.
Right. Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing.
Right.
You know, Vince Lombardi.
Right.
She had all of these very easy sayings, and you had to identify who said them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my wife was amazed that out of all the people at the party, I won that contest.
There you go.
She was absolutely amazed. And meanwhile, this is something like that a mongoloid could figure out.
Yeah, but you were so fast. And you don't love history. And there were a lot of historical figures in there.
It's all pop culture. I mean, if you watch MTV, you know all of the stuff that they said.
Great.
So I couldn't get over it. She was amazed. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you won that game.
That was a big turn on for me.
Oh.
I wanted you very much right then.
There you go. See, she likes the
I like
really?
A smart guy.
Sure.
That's why when I first met you, you were wearing those glasses. I thought you were a real smart guy.
Ah, but you found out when I took the glasses off, didn't you?
I'm just
a real dumb guy.
Now you wear contacts, and I have no delusions.
Just a real dumb guy. Oh, and for the record, it doesn't bother you that I've spoken with Janine Garofalo, does it?
Yeah, I don't care.
See, I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think about Leah? Somebody called and thought that the reason that... What was that, Mike?
The caller was saying that he thought that the reason you were focusing on Janine Garofalo is because your wife had talked to you about Leah.
You know, if anyone wants the aggravation that I've had for 18 years, you know, jump on in.
That's a good. I agree with your wife's point.
Right on. You hear that, girls?
Right.
Jump on in, all of you. Jump on in.
Come on now. Come on, shoot. Welcome to the party.
I'm willing to share.
All right, baby. I love you.
All right. Love you, too. Goodbye,
right.
Boo-boo.
I'll see you later. All right, so. There's only one thing I can't tell you about, but I'll tell you off the radio.
Okay, all right.
Because it's good.
Because she said that you had a peaceful time of it.
Well, you know, it depends how you describe peace.
Is the one thing the F use on New Year's Day?
No. The one thing is about, I'll tell you later, it's about a member of her family.
That and this was like,
you know what you're
going to
do now? You're going to get me to say,
I'm curious.
Tell you during the commercials.
I'm curious.
I promise. I know you are. Let me tell you first about Christmas Eve.
Yes.
This was the first minefield that we had.
Okay.
When, again, at our house, Rita's entire family comes over for the big Christmas Eve party.
Right.
And it was nice. except that my wife's got this thing that she had a picture in her mind of what this party was going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
That it was going to be everybody nestled together and people, everybody gets to open a gift on Christmas Eve.
Right.
So it's supposed to be that everybody would, like, open the gift and save the paper, and she got mad at the way that people were opening the gifts. People were just ripping the paper off and saying thank you, and people weren't saving the bows, and then people had their elbows on the table during dinner.
Really?
And then after dinner, she said, now we're all going to gather around the piano, and we're going to sing Christmas carols. And I look around the room at everybody, and there is no enthusiasm for this. I mean, at this point, we're all...
Everybody's been fed.
Fat and happy, and there's been a half a bottle of wine that everybody's had. And, everybody's just sitting back from the table. And,
half a bottle? Boy, I can tell you weren't at my house. That'd be per customer right there.
I said to her, honey, nobody wants to sing Christmas carols. She said, it's Christmas Eve. Come on, everybody. Come on, let's go. So she goes over by the piano, and slowly she guilts each member of her family into coming over. And we're all gathered around. And she says, okay, here we go now. First thing we're going to do is Jingle Bells. Are you ready? And then she starts, she goes, ding, ding, on the piano. Ding, ding, dong. Ding, ding, dong.
So she's trying to demonstrate her piano ability.
And she was awful. She kept hitting all these bad notes. And when she would hit the bad notes, everybody started to laugh.
Oh, dear.
And then when everybody started to laugh,
right,
then she started getting mad at her. But she says, don't laugh at me.
Oh,
so
no.
And she says, okay, let's try it again. Ding, ding, duh. And we're like half-heartedly laughing. And keep in mind that she also went to the trouble of putting out lyric sheets and everything for everybody.
Oh, see, she wanted everybody to have the sing-along.
And then she got real mad when everybody just... At one point, everybody just balled up all of the lyric sheets. We just started throwing them at her.
Oh, no.
And she said, well, that's fine. You know,
and that was that.
Threw her arms up and said, that's fine. You guys don't want to sing Christmas carols. That's fine.
I'll tell you, if you need the lyric sheet for Jingle Bells, you might want to go back to school for a while.
No, it was that one, and it was Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
I'd need a lyric sheet for that.
Some jolly old goddamn Saint Nick.
Were there any songs completed at all? Were there any?
No, songs completed. She was very upset about that. That was Christmas Eve, but that was the only up to that point. That had been like the only bump in the road. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Things are going fine. Then we get to New Year's Eve, and this is when things got really, really hairy.
Right.
Because again, she had the pressure of having the whole family come over to our place for the party.
Mm-hmm.
And about I don't know. I guess it was on New Year's Eve afternoon. We were out to dinner with my sister and my brother-in-law and their kid, the twins.
Right.
And Bart. So there's like 8 or 9 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very nice. New Year's Eve, about 5 o'clock, we're at a restaurant in Ocean City. And we're sitting down having dinner. And the kids start talking about The Simpsons. Right? So I'm starting to kid with the kids about The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. And they're all saying, do you remember this episode of The Simpsons? Do you remember this episode? Frida said to me, why are you doing this with them? And I said, I'm doing what? I'm talking to the kids. She says, why are you quizzing them about their knowledge of a cartoon show? I said, honey, it's New Year's Eve. Lighten up. She said, aren't you bothered by the fact that, forget Robin's kids, she said, aren't you bothered by the fact that your kid knows every episode of The Simpsons by heart? I said, no, I'm not bothered by it at all. But it was like, during the evening, this was her big focus. Mm-hmm. Whenever the kids again would start talking about The Simpsons,
it started to escalate.
She would give me the dagger look, right?
Mm.
So we got home after dinner. We got home about 7 o'clock. People coming over for the party at 8 o'clock.
Right.
Well, everything was all set up. So I turned the TV on, and guess what's on? The Simpsons.
Simpsons.
So I said to the kids, hey kids, come here, watch The Simpsons with me.
Right.
Right? They all come running out. All the kids come out. Right away she goes, come here, I need to talk to you for a minute.
Oh.
She pulls me away. She goes, what's your problem? I said, well, hey, what's your problem, bud? She said,
now, there wouldn't be any chance that you looked for The Simpsons, was there?
No, it was the only thing on New Year's Eve. It was the only thing on.
I was just checking.
I mean, I was so bored with the Peter Jennings crap.
Right, right, of course.
Every channel had the same thing. It was Midnight in London.
It was the only thing you found that was...
There was nothing else on.
Okay.
Nothing else on the whole satellite, bud. Nothing else on the 125 channels.
That's right.
Just The Simpsons.
Just checking.
So she said... She pulls me aside, she goes, why do you have to do this? I said, what do you have to do? She says, why are you making them watch this crap? I said, I'm not making them watch this crap. First off, I like The Simpsons. I said, second off, we're all ready for the party. Everything is set up. The table's set up, the food's set up, the decorations are here. You have all your goddamn hats and your noisemakers. You've got your games. We have nothing to do. Why can't the kids and I just watch The Simpsons? And then she says, turn it off.
to turn on anything except The Simpsons.
Wow.
So I go back in the next room and I go, well, kids, we got some bad news. Mommy says we can't watch The Simpsons. And I go, oh, boo, Mommy. So then she says, watch MTV. And she screams from the other room.
I said, all right, that's fine. I'll turn MTV on. You know. MTV and their Simpsons expose.
Oh, it was awful. My wife knew that I would hate MTV because it was Carson Daly.
No.
You know, from their Times Square studio.
Almost makes you want to go back to Peter Jennings.
Yeah. So at that point, I walked out of the room, but the kids are all watching MTV, and I said, really, what's your problem with this? Really, what's at the root of this? And she said, The Simpsons is a stupid show. You are dumb for liking it. You're giving a bad impression to the children by telling the children that they should like this show. I said, honey, I thought you liked The Simpsons. She says, I like The Simpsons, but I like The Simpsons every day. I said, I don't watch The Simpsons every day. She said, you've watched The Simpsons almost every single day we've been on vacation. I said, yeah. I said, I never get to see The Simpsons because The Simpsons are on
right
at 7:30 when we're still doing the show. I said, why is it so bad I enjoy The Simpsons? She says, nothing. But you enjoy The Simpsons, then the kids enjoy The Simpsons, and the kids don't want to talk about the century gone by. All the kids want to talk about is The Simpsons.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it really got this escalated to the point where, at that point, I said, fine, you know what? Let's just go our separate ways until the party. What do you think about that? She said, that's fine. Maybe we need a cooling off period. It's fine.
Wow.
So it's like we separated until the party.
Right.
Then when the party started, she came over and she said, now, as people were coming over, she said, you have to turn the TV off.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, honey. Gotta have the TV on during the party. I said, I promise. I won't put it on a channel I like. I said, but you gotta, like, turn it on to Times Square or something. Like,
yeah, one of the nice things about having a party at home, I would think, is having the TV there just to, you know, to be looking in on Times Square when you have that. I was at the party, and that was the one thing I was frustrated with, you know, because I always like to kind of, if you're up and you're paying attention to watching the ball drop.
Well, this was about 8 o'clock.
Okay.
So it was still a while before midnight, but my wife was adamant. She said, no.
And they were doing all sorts of things around the world.
She said, no television at this party.
Mm-hmm.
I said, honey, the television is brings everybody together.
Right.
Please, let me turn the TV. I said, mute it. Just let us have the picture.
Did you get a chance to see where they kept that guy from Good Morning, the old guy from Good Morning America?
Oh, yeah, hold on.
Newfoundland. And you know.
That guy's name is
Kevin.
No, yeah, right, the guy with the glasses. The
Kevin
guy,
Matthews?
The guy who Lewis yelled at. Kevin.
Newman? Oh.
McCree. I think it might be Kevin Newman, because it was Lisa McCree.
Right. And it was like, it's just like, we're going to go now to the person who is on the lowest possible ladder. Let's go to Kevin in Newfoundland. I felt bad for the guy, I really did. But I interrupted. Go ahead.
Did you see when they dug up Howard K. Smith?
Oh, yeah. On the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, couldn't get a camera into that.
No, you couldn't.
That room.
You would need the casket cam. Well, we go through this giant argument about if the television should be on or not, right? And finally, I said, hey, listen, you know what? My house. I'm going to turn the TV on. Look at this. Letterman's on. It's 8 o'clock on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn Letterman on. She says, nobody wants to watch David Letterman. But, of course, everybody comes and they go, oh, look at Letterman's doing stupid human tricks.
Was he live?
It was a New Year's Eve show.
Okay, all right.
And he had Kevin James on. And, mm-hmm. and before you know it, everybody's watching the TV. And Frida comes by and she says to me, see what you've done? Look at this. I said, what do you mean? Everybody's having a great time. She says, no, you know what? We sit around watching television, like any night with you. She said, I want you to go in there right now, turn off the TV, and announce to everybody we're going to start playing games.
Right.
I said, all right. Okay, so I go in front.
I understand where your wife's coming from on this. You want the TV on because immediately that puts everybody into that TV coma and everybody's focusing on that and not like the party that she's planned.
Playing all the ridiculous games.
I can understand where she's coming from.
So I go in and I say, I've got some good news and some bad news. I say, here's the bad news. I picked up the remote and I said, TV's off. I said, the good news is we're going to play some games. And then Frida came out with all of her homemade games.
Made them all herself, huh?
Yes, she did. There was the Who Said It game.
Mm-hmm.
There was the events in history where you had to put them in chronological order. Like, and there was ridiculous stuff, like the guy invented penicillin and the Wright brothers fly. And
wow.
Man walks on the moon.
Flexing the brain muscles.
So, like, we had to play these games. And because my wife had no time limit, this is what was killing me. Even if there were games I didn't know the answers to, after like 10 minutes, I said, hey, come on, people. Move this on. Everybody goes, no, we just need a couple more minutes to think about this. Think about this. And meanwhile, they're playing for a pair of socks. Okay, the gifts that my wife had for the party gifts were like Y2K socks.
Y2K socks.
Y2K boxer shorts.
All with the Y2K logo.
That was Y2K. It's like, you know, they're playing for crap prizes. I said, can't we just move it on? How about a time limit on these guys? How about a 10-minute limit on the game? You'll know. Everybody just keeps going. And the party started to drag down until finally we were out of games.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 10:30. And I said, you know what? It's time to turn on the old friend. I went back and I said, hello, old friend.
The warm glow of the electronic companion.
Turned it on. As soon as I turned it on, party came to life.
Baby. Ah, there you go. Everybody's checking it out.
Everybody at that point, everybody started putting the hats on. We had the glasses that had the 2000 that looked like big Fag Elton John glasses.
I saw Sonny wearing one of those pairs of glasses.
And it got to be midnight. We had the countdown. Everybody kissed. Everybody toasted. Immediately went in the computer room and went right on AOL.
Right.
And got right on lickety split and came running out and yelled to everybody, hey, great. We're online.
Right.
The lights are on. And it was at that point, it would have been perfect if everybody would have just left. Because, like, 10 minutes after midnight, everybody had been there all night long.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's like, you get to that point, it's like, okay.
Yeah, you started at 5 o'clock.
Out. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
No, people were there for the long haul.
Sure.
At that point, my brother-in-law said, hey, I wouldn't mind getting in that hot tub. I said, oh, that's great. Sure. Help yourself. Build it. Oh, I said, you know what, though? You don't have a bathing suit. He said, no. Brought one down with me. Got it in the car.
Oh,
so my
no.
brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, 1 o'clock in the morning when I got in the hot tub. And the kids are still up. And I was at that point, that was the beginning of the FU part of the holiday. Okay?
Too much day.
Because it was like 1:30 in the morning and everybody was still there.
Right.
And at one point I just said to the friend, you know what? Why don't you just go tell everybody to leave. Just tell them the party's over. He said, no, the party will go on. This is great. I said, honey, it's 1:30 in the morning. 1:30. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. She said, well, nobody's stopping you. Go to sleep. I said, I can't go to sleep because everybody's making so much noise. So about 2:30 a.m., everybody clears out.
Right.
Oh, and also in the middle of this, the dishwasher exploded. And when I say exploded, I am not exaggerating. I mean, we heard a...
Right.
And all of a sudden, all over the floor, there was a combination of food...
Jeez.
And grease... And, like, soap suds.
Yeah, it's your dishwasher's not Y2K compatible.
All over the floor. So we're mopping up the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2:30 in the morning. Everybody finally leaves. We get to bed. We get up on New Year's morning. And that's when my brother-in-law calls and says, hey, guess what? That party I was going to host today, I can't do it. I got the flu. I'm sick. So I said to Frida, she hung up the phone. She rolled over and bitched me out. No party at Doug's today. I said, whew. Oh, that's great. I couldn't stay another day with your family anyway. We had them all over here yesterday. He says, no.
Yeah, especially if you're going to the wee hours like that.
Said, the great news is, we're going to have the party here at our house today.
Ah!
And I said,
oh, my God.
I said, no, that's not a good idea. I said, everybody just left here at 2:30. There's like, people left at 2:30 and they were going to be coming back at noon.
That's way too much together.
They had all the same people. I mean, it's not like you bust in a new group of people.
Yeah.
It's all the same people that we had wasted all the small talk on
right.
the night before.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you right
so
now.
So it was about 12:30 on New Year's Day. I just had the bags under my eyes. I didn't get enough sleep and a little hungover. And my wife's a little hungover and overtired. And at one point, she's yelling at me about something to do with the dishwasher, something about I should have scraped more food off the plate before I put it in the dishwasher. And I just turned to her and said, hey, you know what? F you. She says, you know what? F you. And my sister-in-law comes in the room and she goes, hey, what's going on here? I said, you know what, Robbie? No offense. That's my sister-in-law, Robin. I said, you know what? No offense. F you. And she said, hey, no offense taken. F you. And it was like, we were laughing about it, but underneath the laughter...
Dude, you're blowing off a little steam.
On some level...
It's a very good, controlled way of getting it out of your system.
On some level, there were real FUs coming
out. Of course, yeah, because you were just tired of everybody.
And if people would come over during the day, it was a little code that I had with my wife and with her sister. People would come in, and I'd go, Robbie, Frida, hey, here's Judy and Pat. Hi, you guys. And as they would walk by, I'd go... F you. F you. And they would go, yes, F you. F you.
That's good in a good way.
So the whole day was just, it was the parade of F yous.
It got you through it.
Yes, yes, it did. Except for the minor problem with the Austin Powers movie.
Oh, really?
That the kids wanted to watch Austin Powers 2, and there were some people in the crowd who thought it wasn't proper for children to watch.
Not at my house.
Right, well, I mean,
sorry,
no.
I'd like to apologize. But it was my, you know, I'd like to apologize for any damage I may have done to the young kids in my family, including my own. You know, and because we that came on at the end of my New Year's Day little function, too, when everybody was just, you know, all partied out. And you know, I said, hey, you know, sometimes it's perfect. Go ahead, turn it on. And then, you know, I see the probe getting ready to be put into that bastard, and I see these four little heads down there. And, you know, you just get to a point sometimes, well, maybe they'll forget it.
Nothing that they haven't seen. Well, I mean,
well, until Catherine came down the last day and said, hey, Daddy, the little man bit the other man in his privacy. That was the one lasting image when Mini-Me, I guess, bites Austin Powers right there.
In his privacy,
yeah. Happy New Year, bad parenting for Y2K.
Well, we had that same discussion going, and it was the people who didn't have kids who were concerned about the fact that there were kids watching this movie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was that brought out another round of the F.U.s. I was like, you know, well, how dare this person say that the twins shouldn't be watching this? Well, F you. F you. Hold on. You know what? I got just a couple more things.
Oh, God.
And I do want to hear about your holiday. And Buzz, of course, as always, at the very end of the show, we'll skip right over yours.
Oh, good. I will tell you one thing. Since Buzz came to the little shindig I was having at my house, Buzz probably living the most dangerous life of all of us on his holiday.
Oh, right, because he was actually in the skies, right?
At 7 p.m., you know, that dangerous time.
Midnight Greenwich time that pilots fly by.
That's 7 o'clock on New Year's Eve, right?
That's right.
And Buzz was in the air.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look, he's fine.
He's fine.
He's fine now.
The pilot came on a couple of minutes after the top of the hour. He told us about 20 minutes before what was going to happen.
Top of the hour.
Imagine if I was on that plane. You know,
and I can't.
You know, if there are going to be any glitches, they should be coming up in about 20 minutes. I'd be like John Lithgow. I really would. I'd be like, let me off. Let me off the plane, please. I'm going to die.
I never gave it any thought. I didn't know, you know, about the Greenwich Mean Time thing that pilots go by. I thought they went by the same watch as everybody else.
I think I said something nice over here. It didn't matter. I didn't give it any thought. That's your goddamn anthem anyway.
I'll be safe because I'll be home long before it's midnight. And then I find out that...
So you were in the skies at a deadly time.
Midnight pilot time. There was silence the first couple of minutes of the hour at about 2 minutes after 7 Eastern time, the pilot came on and said, well, it was touch and go with air traffic control for a minute, but everything's fine now.
You think he was goofing you?
I think so, because the reports I heard was that everything was fine all around the world, and we were fine. We landed, and
everybody was fine.
We survived.
I would have been crawling.
Of course everybody was fine. Oh, my God. You should have seen the crowd scene at Walmart on New Year's Eve. We went to Walmart. Now, we had to buy water, okay? We had to buy water because...
Really? Yeah. No, I'm believing that.
Wait a minute.
Right. You had to buy water on New Year's Eve.
The water at the beach is awful. So we bring up like the big things, the bottled water.
Do you guys seek out the biggest crowds known to mankind? If it's not the Renaissance Festival, it's like you're getting your water on New Year's Eve.
Well, we didn't even give it a thought. Mom says, you know what? We need to get some water for the party tonight. Let's go over to Walmart and get some water. So we went to Walmart. I said,
it's right there. It's in the big piles in the back of the store, right next to the milk and the toilet paper and the shotgun shells.
I said, look at this crowd. Wow, wouldn't you think people would be at home? And we were both like two rubes walking in there.
Right.
We said, why is this so crowded? And then we saw the gigantic line of people waiting to buy exactly what we were buying.
It's incredible. I had a huge party on New Year's Day, and I actually bought all my stuff the day before New Year's Eve, and because they're thinking that, but they were still there the day before, stocking up. And I saw a lot of water with people with like little shifty eyes, and you know, you look at their card and they'd be like,
Can you read about stupid Pat Boone?
No.
And Pat Boone took all of his money out of the bank.
Really?
And had a year's supply of food and water.
All right.
In an underground shelter.
Such an idiot.
Took all of his money out of the bank.
Big salute to all the people that did that kind of crap.
The guy, was it in Italy? The guy who took all of his money out of the bank and got robbed on his way out of the bank.
Lost everything.
Oh, God. Fantastic. Love that. Hold on, we're up on a break. We will be back with more.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports.
In fact, before I do this, I just want to leave a message for Don Geronimo. Donnie, you and I are good friends. We'll always be good friends. But Don, kiss my ass. Just kiss it.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
They're marvelous, you daffy bastards. Leave them alone. They're beautiful.
Don, Don, Don. Mike, Mike, Mike. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, now, stay tuned very soon. Redskins playoff tickets.
Ah, we got them.
Redskins and the Lions this weekend at FedEx Field. We will be giving away playoff tickets today. We'll be giving away playoff tickets tomorrow.
Good.
And on Friday, giving away playoff tickets along with on-field passes.
And if you've never been on the field for an NFL game, it is incredible. And I guess for the playoffs, it's all the more exciting.
Pretty cool. So please stay tuned. Listen, let me just finish up real quickly here with the weekend and time off. Then we get to Mike's time off.
We're just at the FU stage. I mean, you just passed through the FU New Year's Day.
And I just wanted to throw out a quick plug for the Secret Celebrity Laugh.
Yes.
Which is coming up very soon, worth $500.
Can't figure it out. Tough.
And could be worth all the way up to $10,000.
That's a tidy sum, Mr. Bigglesworth.
TSMB. TSMB in 2000. Okay, you know, as it turns out, I'm just about done.
Okay.
There's a couple things to tell you.
All right.
First, I went bowling.
Ah, that's wonderful.
Over the holiday and found out we could do a bowling show sometime because I kick ass at bowling.
You know, bowling is something that, you know those things they wear, the professional bowlers?
Those like they're not cast.
Yeah, but they're like, is it support?
It's a hand brace. It's a hand brace.
Because when I bowl so hard that I can't even like squeeze anything after I bowl. I'm probably the only person in the world that's such a wuss that when I bowl, I hurt myself. But I actually love the bowling. Let's do a bowling show.
Yeah, I kick ass at bowling.
Take over a bowling alley
one day. One day I had 4 strikes in a row going.
Did you really?
Yeah, when I was playing with Barry.
I'm tuned up for my bowling after doing all that elf bowling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well then, you know, let's do it.
Let's bowl.
I'd love to. I found out that I kick ass at bowling.
All right, and now I guess if we were going to have somebody bowl naked, we'd have to be naked ourselves. That just won't work. I'm sorry, you know.
No, I mean, maybe we could just really go bowling sometime.
Have a bowling competition?
Yeah.
That
you know,
great. Maybe like you know, set it enough in the future that we do a little practicing and stuff. Are you ready to go?
I'm telling you, I got into it.
Really?
I know it's white trashy and everything.
I don't think it is white trashy. You know, I think there are a lot of people that bowl from all walks of life. I think there's a significant number of white trash folks.
I'll tell you this though, I've got to get my own shoes. One thing that grosses me out is when they give you the shoes. Yeah, first off, this ridiculous looking clown shoes. But then, think about how many other feet.
Oh sure.
Have been in those shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the same feeling with the bowling ball too. You go back and try to find the ball that fit your hand the best.
And they make you wear the bowling shoes. I mean, they're religious about that.
Oh,
they didn't let me bowl in my golf shoes, which I wanted. They're upset about their wood. What a bunch of a-holes.
How many fingers had been in those holes before my fingers had been in those holes?
Do you have trouble finding the ball that has the right finger holes? I do. I can't.
Yes, because I have big fingers.
And I don't think I have big fingers, but I'm always finding the tiny little balls that have the tiny little holes in them, and it's a pain in the ass.
I'm telling you, I found the perfect ball. Well, we were bowling this one. I had 7 strikes in one game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's pretty. I was saying to Bart, that's a perfect game. It's like 10 strikes in a row. That's
incredible,
game,
right?
Well,
that's 7 strikes in a row.
7 strikes, not in a row, in one game.
Do you curve it up
strikes.
There, or do you go straight?
Straight.
You go straight.
Just keep my wrist straight, and just I look at the little dot in the middle of the floor.
And that's how you do it.
And I became so annoying that at one point my son wanted to stop playing with me because my son wanted to go bowling to have fun.
Right.
And, of course, I started doing it. I found out I'm good at it.
So right if you away, find out you're good at something, forget it.
Take all the fun out of it. Because what I'm going to do is I got real serious. And he's like goofing around with me.
Right.
And at one point, I turn around, holding the ball, trying to say, hey, listen, Bart, be quiet. I said, why? He said, we're in a bowling alley. I said, I can do this well.
I can do this well, and I'm concentrating.
So I would go down, and at one point, I rolled 4 in a row, and I had 7 strikes in one game.
Right.
So what I started doing is I went to Bart, and I said, now listen, here's what you're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You need to hold your wrist straight.
Do you put your these 3 fingers, or do you do these 2 fingers in the thumb?
No, it's the thumb and the first 2 fingers.
Okay.
I said, what you had to do is go look at the little dots on the end of the bowling alley and just line the ball up like that and just roll it very slow with those dots. Finally said to me, you know what, Dad? I don't want to go bowling anymore. And I said, why? And he said, Because you're taking it so serious, you're taking all the fun out of it.
See, that is, see, he likes golfing with you because you don't care.
Right.
Right.
So then I started lighting
you know,
up.
There's a lesson there, though. There's also a lesson. I mean, when you don't care, I mean, it's just for fun. If for any parent trying to get a kid into sports, I'll remember that, because if you completely take the fun out of it, the kid doesn't want to do it.
So then I started trying to lighten up, okay?
Right.
Except the problem is, you know that other people, they are watching you bowl.
Okay? Yes.
And when you roll the ball down the middle and you get like maybe 9 out of 10, mm-hmm. you turn around and immediately you make eye contact with other people. It's like mm-hmm. you look around and you go, yeah, that's right. 9 out of 10. That's right. That's right.
And you go to the ones where they keep electronic score?
Yeah, you didn't have to do a thing. Okay. Everything was done computerized.
The best thing that ever happened to bowling.
So at one point, I was going real good, man. I had 4 strikes in a row. I come up for the 5th strike in a row. I go up, I concentrate, I'm about to shut up. I roll the ball right down the middle. I get 9 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's just the one pin is left there. And I turn around and I went, ah, crap. The bar came up to me and said, Dad, why can't you just have fun? Why are you mad? I said, why am I mad? Look at that. It's one pin left, though. and then he said, that's when he said to me, hey, if you're going to be like this,
right,
we're not going to go bowling anymore. And it was really weird because it was like he was the dad and I was the kid.
Right.
The problem is that I'm just such a clod.
You ought to join a league.
That I'm amazed that at least we bowled over a 3-day stretch.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 days, I had the touch of God when I was out there.
The bowling touch of God.
It was new. I bet this is him now. Hello?
Dad?
Yeah?
It wasn't just once.
It wasn't once what?
That you just went, oh, every time you didn't get a strike, you got an 8. You turn around, you roll your eyes, and go, ugh, like, I want to kill myself. This is the worst I've ever done.
So, Bart, did he get too into it for you?
Yes.
I told you. I'm still in here on the radio right now. Don't lie to you. I tried to lighten up then. You know, Barty, you know this. I'm not used to doing anything well, and I was amazed
at
getting all those strikes.
He said, okay, I'm going to lighten up for you, Bart. So you go up, and you're smiling, and you get 9, and you roll your eyes, and then you go, it's okay, I'm having fun. But it doesn't look like you're having fun.
Why, because I was rolling my eyes?
Because you look so sad, like, oh, this is the worst day of my life. I could have had 7, 8 strikes, but I didn't.
I was trying to tough it out, you know. It's not very often that you've been to any kind of an athletic function, and I'm really stretching to call bowling athletic.
Yeah, but, you know, it counts.
But it's not often you've been able to go to any kind of an athletic function and actually see me perform adequately.
Dad?
Yeah?
Wasn't it 7 strikes in the time we went, which was 2 games?
I guess maybe it was 7 strikes in 2 games.
No,
hold on, no.
It was in 2 games.
No, it was 4 in 1 and 7 in the other.
No, Dad, because you didn't get over 200.
Well, maybe he's right.
Kids,
whatever.
Kids telling it like it is.
Whatever.
But you need that.
I beat your ass, though.
And it wasn't too nice when my dad's like getting competitive, like, yeah, good. Bring it, son.
Bring it, son. One of the games we played, Bart was doing much better.
You discovered that you have perhaps an aptitude for this game.
Every time I didn't get a strike, he'd try to coach me, saying, Bart, keep your wrist straight. Don't curve the ball like that. Keep your wrist straight.
I'm trying to be helpful.
And I said, Dad, some people bowl differently. And he said, no, Bart, you're supposed to bowl this way.
It was a nice experience.
There you go.
We enjoyed it.
It's good. Bowling's a blast.
Sure. All right, bud. I love you.
Love you, too.
I won't even mention putt-putt, then.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, I won't mention that.
Okay, considering you cheated, bye.
How did I cheat at putt-putt?
He's gone.
He's a little rat. So
lots of athletic competition.
Yes, there was.
Putt-putt and bowling.
That's right. He's the finest athletic competition. We also, just let me mention quickly, we went to movies. We went to On Any Given Sunday, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
We went to The Talented Mr. Ripley, which I thought was so gay and sucked so bad.
Oh, rats, that's the one I wanted to see.
We'd have to buy a new dog because my son got straight A's on his report card, and that was the deal we'd made with him.
Yes. Yeah. Time to get a new, gonna get, is it medium, small, or large?
That is up to him and mommy to decide what kind of dog we're getting, but we're getting a...
I can get you a great deal on a couple.
We're getting a third dog. What do you dog? I don't want, you mean your dog?
Yeah, I'll sell him to you.
I don't want your dog.
How about I pay you?
No, I don't want your dogs. I want well-trained dogs.
Okay, just prepping my house for the, you know, the socializing of the season. I just found evidence of, you know, of things that I didn't know. One of the dogs snuck down into one of the corner rooms and just soiled the carpet a couple of times.
Well, that's what dogs do.
Yeah, it is what dogs do.
My little dog took a crap last night.
Yeah, I know. I just
I picked it up with my hand today.
Oh, how was the taste?
It was salty.
Salty.
I picked it up just with my bare hands because it was all hard and stuff.
Did you really pick up dog poop with your hands?
Yeah.
Wow. You're completely desensitized.
Well, no, it was obvious he had laid the turd.
Months ago?
Well, like early last evening, and I found it very early this morning when I got up for carnival.
Yeah, but sometimes that's deceiving. It'll look hard from the outside, and then you'll crack through to the soft, chewy center.
You have to be extra careful. How many licks does it take to get to the center? The dog turd pop.
Nasty stuff right there. Very, very nasty.
And I ended up the vacation by going back and having my finger operated on again.
That looks like it's a minor surgery.
Yeah, do you know what... that the doctor had put in my finger around Thanksgiving time, poked through the skin.
Nasty.
Yeah, so I had to go back and have some more minor surgery.
Is it done now? Is it finished now?
It's done. There's a plastic pin in there now, not a metal pin in there now.
That's good.
So that was the end.
So it was a good vacation.
Oh, it's excellent vacation. Like I mentioned, couldn't wait to get back.
Mm-hmm.
Really could not wait.
Yeah, it was a good vacation. I had a good vacation, too. I really did. I was happy with it. There wasn't anything that happened on my vacation that I would really describe as nasty or bad. Other than Buzz was at my New Year's Day party, which I take a lot of pride in.
It was great.
And you were invited. You were down there with your family.
You know,
at the beach,
whole thing.
You
weren't
able to go.
Party.
But you know, you let me know early you weren't going to come, unlike others.
Oh, can you hold off on this? If you're going to get into your whole thing here.
Sure. I want to yell at one person a little bit. Thanks for calling. Because you know, when you do send an invitation out that says regrets on it, it's always a real good idea to send your regrets the day after the party.
The day after. All right. Thank you. I'm sorry. I was so sick.
My wife didn't buy it either.
Hello. Hello. We have to do a contest now. Time for caller 100. I really wanted to be there. Caller 100 time. Good luck with a brand new secret celebrity laugh. Can you figure out who this is?
It might have been me when I was laughing at Rob's lame excuse for not coming to my party.
It is not. If you can identify that celebrity laughing, you'll win $500.
All right.
Good luck. You get a shot right now if you're the 100th person to call the Rockhead. Mike Rockhead waiting to count the calls at 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Brad. You are listening to us in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's just after 4 p.m. and you're hearing this show on WNFL.
Green Bay. Living La Vida Marti. It's Don Geronimo and Michael Mello.
Time for caller number 100. All right. And here we go to the toll-free. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Steve here. Is it Don?
Well, hello.
Am I caller 100?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, you are caller 100.
Caller 100. 1-300-AM.
What's your name?
This is Steve.
Steve, where are you from, Steve?
From Everett, Washington, KRKO.
Beautiful. Steve, caller number 100, and you have won the Real World video for MTV, a copy of MTV The Real World in Hawaii, courtesy of Sony Music Entertainment.
That is a good prize, Rob.
But wait, there's more. You've also won a $50 gift certificate to CDNow.com. CDNow.com is your online music destination.
That sounds great.
Are you ready for the secret celebrity laugh number one?
I am ready for it.
This is a celebrity laughing. What's that I hear in the background?
It's music.
Yeah, I know.
What is that music, sir?
Oh, it's KBSD Oldies from downtown Seattle. That's on the second station.
Well, turn it off.
You mean on the second station?
Hang on, I'll turn it down. I'll turn it off.
Yeah, what does he mean, the second
station? Okie doke.
What do you mean? I hope this is not a guy that works at KRKO.
No, I listen to it all day on the radio here, but I have that in the background.
But I don't get it. I don't understand. You're listening to two radio stations simultaneously?
Oh, sure. One in my desk here and one back in the background for the store. I have a store here.
Oh, you have a store.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. All right.
Okay. Whatever.
Good luck.
Here's the... Really, you listen to two radio stations at once?
Well, I listen to you. I have KBS.
No, hey, look, you know what I would appreciate, really? Since we're talking about perhaps a competing radio station, you don't necessarily have to mention their call letters every time you talk about it.
Why wouldn't you just keep KRKO,
our station, on?
That's the one I have on all the time.
Well, right. Then why do you have the other station on?
It's just background for commercial time.
It's
like oldies, so I put it on for the commercials.
So he listens to the oldies. Well, I'm sure the advertisers are thrilled about that.
So you mean you just... You leave our show on until we play commercials.
Yes.
Do you have the other station on when we're on? I mean, is the volume up when we're on?
No, it's barely up.
What if both stations are playing commercials at the same time?
Then I don't really pay attention to either one of them.
This guy's a nut job, isn't he?
What kind of store do you have, sir?
It's a kitchen and gift store.
A kitchen and gift store.
Uh-huh.
So you sell, like, spatulas and spices and stuff?
Yep, all your kitchen gadgets and homemade fudge.
Homemade fudge. Oh, yeah. Baby.
I own a caramel corn shop, too, at the mall.
What is it?
He owns a
caramel corn shop.
Well, aren't we branching out?
I'll send you some.
What is the name of your business?
Broadway Kitchen and Gifts.
You know, I got a new name since you're selling both products. How about Corn and the Fudge?
Oh, no.
Hey, that'd be clever, wouldn't it?
You think about opening up a new butterfly net store. Because someone's going to be chasing you down the street with a butterfly net. Very big one.
Wow.
All right, well, listen, just don't do us a disservice of tuning out our show at any time we're on.
Yes, sir.
Commercials and everything. Right. You know, you just got to bag that other station.
That's a promise.
Okay, good.
Really?
It is.
All right.
I love your show. I love when you guys phone up Leah Remini and talk to her.
That's great. Then we'll say, even though we haven't tasted it, that we love your caramel corn.
Thank you very much.
Hold on, please. Now, here we go with Secret Celebrity Laugh number one. I'll play you the celebrity laughing. Tell me who it is, and you win $500. Or you know what?
Yes.
Because it's the first day back in a new millennium.
And you're thinking this guy might not have a chance?
Right. The guy... two stations at once and sells caramel corn and kitchen supplies.
Not even counting the ones he's getting on his fillings.
We will go 10 times the amount.
Wow. $5,000?
We'll play for $5,000.
My God.
I'm sitting down.
So we will play for $5,000, okay?
Okie doke.
Oh, wouldn't that be a cherry for Alan Line 1?
Yeah, really?
The new general manager.
Greetings to Y2K, $5,000.
Oh, you'll play for $5,000. Good luck. Please don't answer until Mike sings like Hank Hill. That is the secret celebrity laughing. You'll play for $5,000. Did you spell Mama Elston peanut brittle in your store?
No brittle, just fudge.
No brittle.
Yes, yes,
yes,
yes,
yes,
yes, yes,
yes, yes, yes.
For $5,000. I just have to make the new general manager so nervous.
Absolutely.
For $5,000, what is secret celebrity laughing? Who is it?
I've got to go with your guest from last year, Don Knotts.
Would you please repeat that?
Don Knotts.
Oh,
no, we're sorry.
Nope.
Good one, though.
Absolutely not. But remember, every guest, a clue for you.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Don and Mike.
Now, what are you going to do with that other radio?
Which radio?
There you go. Good answer.
Right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
We're going to play some commercials here in a minute.
Doesn't matter. You're on.
You're on.
That's the spirit.
You're on right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
You're on.
Thank you. Hold on, please.
You're on.
Okay. They just heard the radio.
He just turned us up.
All right, good.
Mm-hmm. He's just sitting there with all these dials, you know, and he's got one of those... One of those colanders on his head. With antenna coming out. Hello, I'm ready now. On my right here are oldies. On my left here, Donna Mike.
How would you like some popcorn?
Yeah, there you go.
Ultimate stereo.
Delicious caramel corn. What's your caramel corn called?
Caramel corn?
Yeah, well, what's it called?
Caramel corn with K's. It's a franchise.
With K's.
Oh, K's. Caramel corn.
That's the best guy.
Right. And then it's crazy, crazy caramel corn. You got the KKK.
Right.
We got cheese corn and peanut corn.
Peanut corn.
Cheddar corn. We got New York corn.
Really? What does that taste like? Sewer water?
New York corn is white cheddar corn mixed with caramel corn.
Do you have Laura corn?
I bet you don't put the peanut and the cheddar corn in the same bag as the fudge, because then you might have to pick the peanuts and the corn out of the fudge.
That's true.
Yeah.
So the fudge has walnuts.
Oh, walnuts. Mm. Man.
So is all of this homemade?
Yes, it is.
Really?
I make the fudge. My wife makes the caramel corn.
I bet that's the way it works.
Do you have John Popcorn?
John Pop? No.
John Popcorn.
No, I know what you mean. Gordon Liddy's the sidekick.
Yeah, sidekick.
Right, his sidekick.
Little buddy.
The Ed McMahon of the Gordon Liddy show.
He'll appreciate the promotion.
I love it when Gordon and John do their Karnak bit.
Oh, they're so fantastic. It's great. I love when Gordon blows into the envelope.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Hold on, please.
Right on.
All good. That was fun.
Goodbye.
Talking with, that's our Seattle station, correct?
Yes, it is.
Very good.
Right.
Very
kooky, crazy caramel corn.
Caramel corn and plenty of walnut fudge.
All with K's.
Mm.
All homemade.
Yum.
Generally,
yum.
I wouldn't trust a guy who makes his own fudge.
That's right.
I'd rather have mine mass produced at a factory somewhere where I'm pretty sure that they have stringent quality control.
Yeah, but it's, you know, if you go to those little stores, those boutique-y places they have in like resort areas where they make the fudge in the window, you know, and you see.
Yeah, maybe that's okay.
No, except if there's a pierced eyebrow, then I won't buy the fudge. If somebody's making the fudge and they have a pierced eyebrow, I go away. Because somebody would pierce their eyebrow, probably those fingers are a little suspect.
You know, in Seattle, maybe if you go by the window of this guy's store, it's not just him sitting in like a metal bath. Making the fudge.
Just gyrating around. What are you doing? Making my fudge?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
I'm trying to get Don and Mike to, I'm going to ask him what it takes to be like a jockey and everything.
A jockey?
A jockey, you got to be very short.
And you have to be fearless because occasionally those horses will throw you.
Do you guys work at WJFK? Yeah,
oh,
yeah. He gets around.
Hey, why is Joan wearing sunglasses inside?
Who?
Joan, just Joan.
I don't know. I'll ask.
I just saw her walk by the window.
Good question, it's a cloudy day. Well, you feel embarrassed if she's lost both of her eyes.
I don't think Joan is going blind.
She's seeing okay?
I've seen her walk around like five times with you. You got sunglasses on.
I'll tell you, when I wear sunglasses during the middle of the day, inside, indoors, there's only one reason. Too much night.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, Mike, how are you?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome back.
Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you, the guy from Everett, Washington, you're stationed up in Everett, Washington. I travel for a living, and I pick you guys up in Portland and Seattle and Boise and Salt Lake City and Reno and Sacramento.
Hey, hold on. Let me tell you, you just reminded me of something. When I was on vacation last week, I was schooling around the dial, spinning around the dial. You know that station that we're on in Iowa?
Mm-hmm.
Let me get the list of the stations here, because this is an important announcement.
Mm-hmm.
The station 1630.
Yeah.
KCJJ.
KCJJ.
God damn, that station has a killer signal. I mean, it's like 100.
You picked up that station?
It's like 100,000 watts.
You picked up that station in Iowa?
In Ocean City.
Wow.
I picked up the station from Iowa.
That's incredible.
In Maryland.
That's like some sort of new record.
And the signal came in better than the Ocean City station.
Next thing you know, you're going to get our Moscow affiliate.
Because the Ocean City station's at 1590.
Right.
And I went down the dial a little bit to 1630, and it came in louder.
Wow.
And clearer.
It's pretty amazing.
You know, so I was listening to the show. I was going back, and I was hearing the show on the Baltimore station, on the Ocean City station, picking up at the Iowa station. And when I was listening on the Iowa station, they were running commercials for Dennis Murphy's Christmas album.
Mm-hmm. Here comes
hold on.
Just Joan.
Now, Just Joan, why are you wearing sunglasses, Just Joan? Joan is one of the ladies that works here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing sunglasses because I cannot see the broadside of a barn without glasses, period, and my daughter drove off with them in the car this afternoon.
Simple explanation. We are all very much relieved.
How are you? Well, you have not lost your eyesight, Just Joan.
Oh, heck no.
How's everything working around the building with the new man in charge? Everything going smoothly?
Very, very smoothly.
Very good. Good.
So you're not just trying to be cool?
No. Oh, God, no.
Although it works.
It does work.
Yeah. You know, you might get sympathy around the building if you kind of, like, just tap your way down the hallway, you know?
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't.
And you know, you could use Bobby's daughter's dog.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there's a dog in the building.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd bring my dog in.
That was this little can.
Okay.
Okay. All right, bye, Joan.
Bye, Joan. Joan wasn't too anxious. That's a dead run out of this
studio.
That's
the first time Joan has ever been on this show.
Very exciting.
See, I had to chase her. I caught up to her in the stairs, and she was going, no, 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 no. I need up to today. When I came into work, I was down the hall talking to some people. I come back, and Mike had come in between the time that I had left the office. And Mike was sitting there having lunch.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Mike, and Mike had his lunch on the coffee table.
Laid out. Just, you know, papers, everything.
And
French fries.
We're talking, and he's eating. And all of a sudden, a dog came into our office and started to eat the food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was very, very charitable with my food. I love that. You know, when I'm up there, you know, from the one moment I have and the doggy comes running in, and then the dog owner, Samantha, came in a little later on, and I gave the dog a French fry, and I said, oh, here's a French fry, and the dog promptly spit the French fry out right next to my hamburger. And has anybody guessed yet? Yes, my resolution for Y2K was to eat better.
It was the weirdest thing, though.
Very strange. Cute little dog.
We were just sitting there talking, and he was eating, yeah. And all of a sudden the dog walked into the office and started eating your food.
I don't know. I don't remember what the dog's name was, but it was a sweet dog.
It's Max the dog.
He
spent most of the new year and also the week between Christmas and the new year here, and I've trained him to get up in chairs.
Really?
The trick was to make him sit in John Pop's chair when John would come up to the office.
Sweet dog. I like
good
that
boy.
Dog.
Good little boy. Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want him to eat my food.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi, it's my birthday today.
It's what?
It's my birthday today.
Oh, I just stifled a hell of a burp.
I really did. How old are you today?
25.
25?
25? You sound younger than 25.
No, I know, but I am 25.
Maybe.
Uh-huh.
Sounds kind of an airhead.
Anybody ever refer to you as a ditz?
No.
You ever been
I'm
called,
very smart.
You ever been called Bubbles?
No.
You sure?
Uh-huh.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Stay-at-home mom. Okay.
Yes, I take care of three other children.
Yeah, that are they yours?
No.
Oh, so you're like, you do a little daycare on the side?
Yeah.
How many babies have you squeezed out by yourself?
Two.
So you have a total of five children that you supervise?
Mm-hmm.
Do you pay close attention to them?
What?
Do you pay close attention to them?
Yeah.
Like, say someone speaking to you.
Where are the little bastards right now?
Well, they're watching TV right now.
Ah. The babysitter's on.
Okay, beautiful. So you had just a moment to call, and you would like to be spanked.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What are the kids watching, Springer?
No, they're watching Comfy Couch.
Comfy Couch.
Who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Oh, my gosh. Well, my boyfriend says Tia Carrera.
Boyfriend? So there's not a mister?
No, not yet. My fiancé.
Oh, it's your fiancé.
Yeah.
Do you really have a ring?
Yes, I do. He gave it to me.
Did he father both the children out of wedlock?
One.
Just one.
Just one of them. Just one.
Yeah.
Were you calling from Waldorf, Maryland?
What?
Are you calling from Waldorf, Maryland? That's just a hunch.
No, I'm not. Why?
Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from, I'm listening on KCJJ.
Oh, in Iowa.
Iowa. Okay. Do you know the name of the father of the first child?
Yes, I do.
You still keep in contact
with
him?
But I don't talk to him, no.
Oh, you don't talk to him?
No.
Okay.
But my boyfriend is pretty much the father of both of them right now. He treats them very much, very well.
Because this could be the biography of any young girl walking the streets in Waldorf, Maryland as we speak
right now. I agree. Babies having babies, though.
Well, no, I'm not a baby having babies. I'm 25 today.
You're 25 today? There's no need to get snippy with me.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, it's your birthday and all. We don't want to ruin that.
No.
That's the last thing we'd want to do.
Uh-huh.
That's great.
So you got the little bastards in front of the TV.
Yes.
And the other children, are they other children from other fathers, or are they...
What do you mean? No, I'm just... What do you mean?
Well, you said you supervised three others. Is it kind of a formal, or, I mean, do you get paid for that, or is it...
Oh, yeah, I get paid for the three other ones I said.
Oh, okay,
Taraja. They're friends of mine.
Who do you think you look like? Did you ever tell us?
My boyfriend said I look like Tia Carrera.
Oh, Tia Carrera, right, the girl in Wayne's World.
What are the ages?
Girlfriend.
What are the ages of the children you supervise? Just out of curiosity.
Three, 2, and 7 months old. Three, 17 months old, sorry.
And yours are?
2 and 4.
Ooh, that's the little bitties.
2 and 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, who's watching them now, the TV?
Yeah. Well, I don't do this all the time. This is my birthday.
Is the 17-month-old...
I'm always with him all the time, though.
Is the 17-month-old sleeping by any chance?
No, she went home.
Oh, she went home.
She drove herself home.
She walked, son. Come on now, they can't drive.
Are you out of the business for good, or occasionally do you still whore on the side?
Oh, excuse me? No. Now, my fiancé might be listening, so you might watch out.
Now, you still... It must be new, because you're still in that habit of saying boyfriend. You're not really engaged, are you?
No, I am engaged.
Now, what is it? A cigar band around your finger?
Yes, it is. Yes. He paid very nice money for it. He told me.
He did?
Yes, he did.
And when are you two planning on...
May
you know,
13th, next year.
May. Rob, don't shake your head like that. Rob doesn't believe you.
You don't believe me. You don't believe me.
Yeah, he doesn't believe you.
I am serious.
I swear on my grandfather's grave, I ain't gonna get married.
Is your grandfather still alive?
No, I wouldn't be saying it on my grandfather's grave.
Well, it means nothing to... Well, what does it mean to swear on his grave? He's already dead.
Oh, no.
You gotta swear on somebody alive.
No, I do.
Hey, tell me something. When you first met your boyfriend, fiancé,
yeah.
How much did you charge him? Was that a $25, $50?
Nothing.
$100?
I gave it off to him for free.
Oh, you gave it to him for free?
Yes.
So I guess after May, you'll be one big happy family.
Yes, I think.
And he'll be the dad. And do you have a good relationship with him?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so there are four children who are watching television now.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And not like the usual five, because the 17-month-old walked home.
Well, she lives just down the street.
Oh, she lives just down the street. That's a short walk.
Sure. She knows her way.
That's right.
No.
Are you having a good birthday so far?
Well, yes, I am. Besides babysitting, I am.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think? Is your boyfriend going to, I'm sorry, fiancé, going to do anything special for you for your birthday?
He's going to go to the ATM.
No, he's going bowling tonight.
He's
going
to get some brand new Chris 20s.
Bring him home tonight.
No, he's going bowling tonight.
Bowling?
Going bowling on your birthday.
Yes, he's going to. He's on a league.
Oh, all right.
He's on a bowling league.
All right. Will he be home early enough to give you, you know, what you really want?
No, he won't. I'll be asleep.
Oh, okay.
Well, then, let's supply you with what you need.
Oh, good.
Would you be a good girl? Well, I know you've done this many times before. Pull your pants down.
Okay.
Not wearing any.
I better shut the door. I don't want any of the kids walking in.
Not wearing any at all. That was simply a little charade.
And pull your underpants down as well.
Okay, I am. Okay.
Right. Bend over. That's funnier than the first comment.
I got a lot of
underwear.
Now, then, bend over, please.
Okay.
Time for the Harry Valentine.
Oh, goody.
I'll be hitting you with a skillet.
Okay. Oh, my God. That's going to hurt.
Yes, I hope it does. All right. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Good birthday. Here we go. One.
Yes.
Two.
Oh.
Three.
Oh, my gosh.
Four. Five. Six.
Yes.
Seven.
Oh, God.
Eight.
Yes.
Nine.
Oh. Yes.
Ten.
Oh.
11.
Oh, God.
What was that?
Oh, yes.
You say harder?
Oh, yes.
Harder? 12.
Yes.
Mike?
Okay.
Oh,
all right, I'll be using my bare hand for the baby who had some babies, okay?
Oh,
are you ready?
Yes.
13.
Oh.
14.
Yes.
15.
Oh.
16.
Yes.
17. Oh. 18.
Oh.
19.
Oh, no.
Groupie cough there.
Dear. You smoke cigarettes around the children?
What?
You smoker?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm trying to catch my breath.
Okay, very good. 17.
Oh.
18.
Yes.
19.
Yes.
20.
Yes.
21.
Oh, my
22.
God. Yes.
23.
Oh, my God.
24.
Oh.
And 25.
Oh,
you didn't need to shock her.
That was so good.
25. Oh, that's awesome.
You were so good.
Oh, that's terrific.
So good.
God, I don't know
so
if I should compare you to my fiancé or not.
You don't know if what, honey?
Should I compare you to my fiancé or not?
Oh, yeah. She says she's giving us a high compliment.
Now, listen, I hear the little ones now.
Might want to tend to those children.
I scared the little ones.
Scared her with all your screaming.
They think I was hurting or something.
Oh, go tend to the kids.
Okay.
Oh,
my. Well, you guys are wonderful.
Welcome to the Tuberculosis Daycare Center.
All right, thank you.
Love you guys.
Love you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Ma Tussin calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
From the Ma Tussin Daycare Clinic in Iowa.
That's great. Yeah. All right, now, how many do you think she's going for the kids? How many do you think she's going for the remote?
Hello, Don Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
What?
You guys were mentioning that you had bowled over the previous weekend.
Yes, I did. Correct.
You did. And you were looking for bowling equipment? No. You might be looking for bowling equipment.
No, I'm not. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
There's a super salesman.
Good afternoon, Don and Mike. How you doing?
We're back.
Yeah. You know what, Mike? I'm
going
to give you credit. 2 hours to the minute. Remember 2 hours ago?
Yes.
When you said about 2 hours from now,
this
it's all going to come crashing down.
This is true. It's back.
This has been the sequence of calls where it's happened.
This is how you know you're back at work.
Oh.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mike.
Thank you.
Happy 2000, Dennis.
God, when you were switching around on the station last Tuesday night, did you hear me?
Me.
Oh, it's the first time in 2000 Dennis has mentioned him.
God. Okay.
Dennis, shouldn't you be down here today giving us our Christmas presents that you never gave us?
You said could give it a couple of days because you got to get your feet back in order.
I believe that's probably true. We probably
have to get our feet back in order.
Well, you know, you just have to wait a couple of days.
Okay.
Did you? Wait, I mean, you know, I'm saying I think that it sounds like something you would say, but I don't remember.
I think maybe
specifically. You
I think maybe what he said was when he called up on our last show before Christmas that he wanted to bring the presents. That I'm right. Sure I said, don't come down the first day we get back.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Right.
A couple of days to get our feet.
Can
well.
I come down on Monday?
What?
Can I come down on Monday?
No.
No, you'd have to come down tomorrow.
Oh. Okay.
Okay? We'll see you then.
All right.
We'll see you then.
Thanks. Happy New Year. You get the gifts yet?
I'm going to do that this weekend.
Oh, you're going to do that this weekend. Well, you can't do it this weekend. You got to do it tonight.
Oh.
And wear your Santa suit. All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow will be great because we'll be, you know, all back to work and stuff, and it'll be like Christmas again.
All right. See you tomorrow, Santa.
Bright and early tomorrow. Beginning of the show?
How about later on?
No, how about 3 o'clock?
Okay. I'll try.
All right. See you then.
See you tomorrow.
Okay.
Happy holidays.
Happy New Year, okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Get us something good.
Huh?
I said, get us something good.
Oh, no problem, Don. You know I get you something good.
He always gets... Dennis, I'll tell you something about Dennis Murphy. He always brings wonderful gifts tomorrow.
Hey, Don.
What?
Is he a hard shot for?
What?
He said you're hard to shop for.
Hard to shop for. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Dennis, you know, you've only got like 5 hours till the store's closed tonight.
Oh, I know. Come.
Dennis.
I have a question, right?
Less talking, more shopping.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye, Dennis.
See you tomorrow.
Hey, Dennis.
See you tomorrow. Dennis, I just want to say one thing about the gift. Please do not get me a golf shirt, okay?
Oh, I know, because you have a little bunch of golf shirt.
No, I just don't want you to get me a golf shirt. That's all. Don't need to analyze it. Thanks, but we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye, Santa.
Bye.
See you.
Adios. Okay.
Come on, discipline.
There he goes.
Welcome back.
There you go.
First time in 2000.
Dennis worked out
there. There it is. I was going to go out this weekend.
Yeah. What he was going to do is come in Monday and go out Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our Dennis.
Right.
Santa Claus. Hello, last call. Don and Mike show.
Happy New Year. This is Sam Huff.
Hey, Sammy.
Right.
How's everybody doing this beautiful Y2K?
Now, here's the guy I wanted to talk to in the new year.
Fantastic, Sam. I hope you're doing well in Y2K.
Oh, I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Yeah.
I think we just said that, Sam.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's been a bit of a break.
You know, Don and Mike, we had our family Christmas party over the holiday.
Did you really?
Yeah, and I tell you what, I got the scare of my life because my sister, Mildred, she apparently had the hemorrhoids.
Mildred.
And she got up on top of the dresser to see what they looked like, and she fell and broke her arm. I had to take to the emergency room in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Oh, my God. She broke her arm.
She broke her arm, and I tell you, I was scared. I was drinking in the car because I was nervous, and I almost hit somebody. I almost hit a horse and buggy. I don't know what was going on.
Man. Yeah, we're getting way more content from this guy than we normally get.
What did the doctor say when he looked at Mildred's hemorrhoids?
Well, first of all, when we walked in, he says, hey, look, it's Sam Huff, the greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL. Uh-huh.
And then I guess he noticed that she had a broken arm after that?
Yeah, and I told him the story about the hemorrhoids, and he says he came up on the short end of the stick.
Jesus Christ. You know, Charles Dickens just called us up.
Quite a holiday story, Sam.
Okay, now that's a good call.
Thank you, Sam.
That's the call we like. Thank you, Sammy. Never heard the story about his sister before.
No, Mildred Huff.
A quick break and we'll be back. You know, I forgot to ask you about your vacation. Coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Santa.
Excellent.
Outrageous.
We just went to your funeral and I really cheered us up.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
I'm just faced with a nice dilemma. Yes. People that we have more Redskins playoff tickets than we thought we had.
That is a wonderful dilemma to have.
So let's give away a pair right now to car number 100.
All right.
Obviously, if you live in Green Bay or Seattle or out in the San Francisco Bay Area where you have your own teams, F you.
Yes. This is some long-suffering Washington fan stuff here.
We do have a pair of tickets to the NFC Wild Card playoff game. Redskins and the Lions got them for you right now. If you're the 100th person to call the Rockhead at 1-877-365-3636.
Well, right.
And good luck. And we'll have tickets every day this week. And on Friday,
going to be talking about this tomorrow. Friday, we're going to have a special contest to give away Redskins playoff tickets and sideline passes so you can go on the field before the game and a brand new mattress.
A mattress?
All right.
Just throwing in a mattress for the hell of it.
Strap it to your car.
That's a good idea.
So all of that coming up this week.
It's a fantastic ticket mattress promotion. And you will be hosting the pregame show for the playoffs as well?
Of course.
That's good. I didn't know what the rules were about that.
Yeah,
so you'll go all the way up to the Super Bowl,
as
right?
As far as they go.
Good.
As far as they go. So caller 100 right now. Good luck, Redskins playoff tickets. Your holiday, my friend.
My holiday, uneventful, basically. It really wasn't that big a deal until, of course, my New Year's Day party, which is the second annual, and it's the one that I really, I spent a lot of time preparing for it. I get real excited about it, and I really do.
I know you do.
For 70 people, and I'm very proud of that fact. And I know it bores you to talk about cooking, but I'm going to tell you what I do to make my world-famous lobster stew, okay?
This is real.
This is what this involves, all right?
Okay.
This is the steps.
All right.
It's a three-day process, all right? You have to go down and you have to buy the lobsters. I buy the lobsters fresh, and I hand-pick the lobsters.
He is staring at me.
And I go down because I'm explaining to you what I do.
I mean, you can
look at Rob.
No. You can explain. Well, you're sitting up erect right now.
Because it's my time to talk about my holiday, and I normally, like, if you're going to call on me to do something like this, I normally perk up a little bit.
Well, you're way perky.
Okay, let me sit back.
There you go. Dad! There you go.
So let me tell you about this. lobster. So what I do is I go all the way down to Annapolis, and I hand-pick the lobsters. I don't want to get the ones that are lying on their back and looking kind of, gray-eyed, and a little, I like to get the ones that have their tails
full of life,
that flap their tails when you pick them up. But I got there late because I go via Atlantic City with my brother-in-law, and we had kind of a late night trip. Yeah, made that trip with him, and we had kind of a late night, and so we didn't get there till about 5 o'clock. Well, by that time, it was a little tougher than usual picking out the lobsters. But I pick out the lobsters and I get the ones I like, and then I take them home, and you can't let them sit overnight because if they die, you can't use them. They're bad. They cannot be cooked.
So you put them in a sink or something?
No, I actually take them and I put them in a big box, and they lined it with plastic, and then they put newspaper and ice on them and to keep them for the trip.
But they're supposed to be in water?
Well, of course they're supposed to be in water. That's why you have to cook them. But I mean, you can't transport them in water.
Oh, I got
water.
So on your
you
way...
You normally transport, even if you're going to fly them, you put them in dry ice. You keep them in ice. But it's a delicate little thing. And it has to be done.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So I take the lobsters and I go to the seafood place, and it starts out. Last year was real easy. Last year there were tons of lobsters. They look like they'd just gotten off the plane. They looked fresh. They all still have their little airplane headphones on. No, they were all ready to go.
How are you doing, Mike?
This year it was Slacker's Central because I'm buying a lot of lobsters.
How many lobsters do you have to buy for 70 people?
For 70 to make this stew, about 20 lobsters.
Mm.
And not big ones, little ones. The little pound and a quarter.
Way cheaping out there.
I'm not cheaping out. I'm cheap. Last year I bought 15 of them. Last year I upped it by five.
So you feed, you're like Jesus. You feed 70 people with 20 lobsters.
Well, in a lobster stew, you're not, and I'm serving other food, so it's not like I'm cheaping out.
No.
Could I have put more lobsters in the stew? Yes.
Okay.
Could I have put less lobsters in the stew? Yes, absolutely. So it's not that problem comes up later. But I'm real picky about making this good because everybody loved it last year, and everybody's saying, hey, you're going to have the lobster stew? I say, yeah, I'm going to have the lobster stew. So I go down and I pick out these. First thing I get in the seafood market is Slacker Boy, the super slacker, where the guy's like, huh? And I think, I said I called earlier, I'm getting 20 lobsters, and I kind of think because I'm getting 20 lobsters, I'm immediately going to get a little extra credit, get a little extra service.
That's not bad.
I mean, I asked for a larger box, and the guy goes, okay, you get a lobster. Yeah. And he goes back. So I finally get the lobsters. I have to take them home. This is one. All right, this is, we're talking about
Thursday?
Wednesday. I get them home. I cook them that night. Then I refrigerate. Then I put them all, like five at a time, in those big Ziploc bags, and I refrigerate them.
Right.
So they stay overnight, so they'll chill. They'll be easier to shuck and pick. The next day,
you're like,
I just want people to get some idea of what I go through to throw this little shindig. And I put them in the little individual Ziploc
bags. It's like a mass murder that you commit here.
It's not,
with these guys, with these lobsters.
Let me tell you, that's the one, and my daughters were both, when I got home, they were both curious about the lobsters, afraid and curious, afraid and curious. And I I held him up, and then I said, put the children to bed because I'm going to
kill them.
I'm going to murder them now.
And you're like the Hitler of lobsters.
It's not a good feeling because
those lobsters were looking for one named Schindler.
I actually cooked all of them simultaneously. I put all of the lobsters in one giant pot, this huge pot that's normally doubles as a turkey fryer, and I put them all in the pot, and then so the ones at the bottom, usually that's when the water's boiling, and
right.
It's real quick for the ones at the bottom. The three or four at the top, it's probably pretty rough on them. I don't mind telling you. It's probably very disturbing, but they all eventually go, and I get them. So this is, they're cooked. I put them in bags, and I put them in the refrigerator. This is Wednesday night. Thursday, I get up, I shuck all the lobster meat, and I put that in individual little things, two big tubs
okay.
of pure lobster meat, and I refrigerate that overnight. Okay, now we're talking Friday, New Year's Eve.
Right.
New Year's Eve, I get the big pot, and I put all the lobster, I saute the lobster meat in butter. This is not a low-calorie dish that I'm making here. Then I pour the milk over the lobsters, the right amount of milk. I put the right amount of sherry cooking wine in there, you know, mm-hmm. to give it a flavor. And then I cook it basically all day. I simmer this thing all day. You get it up to almost, you don't boil it, because if you boil it, that happens the next day. So New Year's Day, I refrigerate that overnight. So now we're talking
yes,
Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night.
Yes, Bobby Flay.
don't call me Bobby Flay.
I know.
You can call me Errol. Don't call me Bobby Flay. You know, somehow a friend of mine tells me he's a nice guy, but I don't like him.
I hate Bobby Flay too.
So I put it in the garage to sit overnight because it's really going to be a cold night and it's actually going to chill the stuff. And then the next day I heat it up. Now, the one thing you can't do is you can't let it boil. If it comes to a boil, it kind of separates and everything's going to be yucky, and it's going to shrink up your lobster meat. Well,
and you're already being such a Scrooge with the lobsters already.
Well, I'm not. I'm it's generous. There's plenty of lobster meat for everybody.
These are tiny lobsters, right?
But they're small lobsters, but you get all the meat out. I dropped a lot of money on this. I was not being Scrooge, but could I have put 10 more lobsters in? Probably, yes.
If I was to have a bowl of this lobster,
you would have had meat in every bowl. I made sure that everybody.
But would there be meat in every bite?
Buzz? There was meat in every bowl, not in every bite, but then it wouldn't it wouldn't be lobster stew. You got to have the stew. I'll make it for you. I'll bring in a batch.
Yeah, you'll
great. I will make it special for you, and I'll bring it into the station. You can take it home, heat it up, and you tell me if you don't think it's one of the best things
it's
you
like
ever taste
heaven.
But I went up to take a shower, and I come back downstairs, and the yes, I cooked without a shower. Okay, I'm sorry. I did some cooking without my final preparations for having people come
That's
over.
Okay,
you gave me that look.
No,
you know I saw that. I've been going,
no,
going
no.
3 weeks, okay. But I still saw that subtle look that said, "You're gonna say something about sex?"
I didn't say anything.
My hands were raw. I washed them so much
okay.
before I prepared. I even used rubber gloves.
Okay.
I used latex gloves for some of the food preparation. That's
good.
How. So I come downstairs and I walk in, and by this time I've got some of my, I think my mother-in-law was over, and everybody's running around, and I see the pot with the lobster in it, and it's going. But they let it come to a boil. I can't take a 20-minute shower without it coming to a boil. So that decreased the lobster meat, but everything was fine. It was wonderful. And Buzz, you will tell.
Oh man, this stuff is great. You really could go on television as a chef.
I cooked. I cooked three dishes. I cooked lobster stew for 60 people.
Mm-hmm.
I cooked Louisiana barbecued shrimp.
Oh,
which was. Did you hear?
Great.
Did you hear that?
It was all great.
Sure.
I'm just telling you and Rob. What, you know, but you at least, you know, had the decency, really the common decency to call me, just to tell me that you were going
to
be down at the beach.
Wait
a minute. Come to the party, not like Rob, you know. Rob called the day after and was the only individual that called after the party to say he was sorry that he wasn't there.
I was sorry I wasn't there.
I know you were.
How should I have handled it? Should I have not called? I don't know. I mean, I felt so bad.
You sent an invitation out that says regret,
yes.
Which means you let someone know if you're coming or not. You don't call the day after the party.
I felt bad. I had every intention of going,
well,
and then
you,
I got sick.
That's fine. That's fine.
Why did you call on the day of the party?
I was sick. And besides,
you're too sick to pick up the phone?
I was not too sick to pick up the phone, but I thought he's got his hands full. He's entertaining. He doesn't want to hear from me.
Well, he talked to my wife, so I don't know how the conversation went. But
there was screaming.
Mighty, mighty suspicious. She's not a suspicious sort. She was suspicious about. I don't know. I don't know what she was. You'd have to take that up with her.
If you doubt me or if she doubts me, you pass along to her the fact that I didn't eat for 2 days,
really?
And I didn't go to the Redskins game the following day. I had tickets on my dresser. I couldn't
really?
Go. I felt bad.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I'm just giving you a hard time.
We
Will you make me some lobster stew?
Yeah, I'll make you lobster stew.
Will you really?
I was looking for. I was very disappointed that you weren't there.
Would you agree?
Rob is kind of the life of the party.
He is.
And he was just the one. You're the one guy. We had some, a lot of people from the station. You were the one person I was looking forward to seeing.
I would have been good to you there, and I would have made you sick, and you don't want that.
Well, there were a lot. Yeah. Okay. All right. It's fine. Say no more about it. You missed out on it, and you missed the. There was only one glitch in the party, and that was at the end. Towards the end,
what happened?
People will go nameless, but there was one friend of mine, a woman, and another friend of mine, a man, and the man, they're not related at all, and they were just, you know, you have that one guy at the party that just has a little too much day, and
right.
He'd had a little too much day, and I was a witness. He made a comment about he wanted to put his lips somewhere on this woman.
Oh, dear.
It's a bad place, gentlemen.
Oh, really?
And, you know, and it was... but
on body?
Yeah, yeah. Ass was the word that was used. It was it was not pretty. It was... she handled it, you know, fine.
Good.
She was... but I was, you know, sitting there, oh, my God. You know, and
people, if that's the only incident, you've come out my
head. Last year, we had about the same amount of people, and we didn't have an incident.
Who did you say that to, Buzz? Everyone.
But it was great, and it was fun, and everybody had a good time. It was the high point of New Year's. I also had everybody over for Christmas Day, and my brother-in-law and sister, excuse me, had people over for Christmas Eve, and I got something in my throat. And it was really, I salivate when I'm talking about lobster stew.
Yeah, I noticed
really
that.
I'm going to make it for you. You know, I know that you're not like into like gourmet stuff, but I think you appreciate fine cuisine, and I'm going to.
No, I'm not into gourmet stuff at all.
But it was really,
you know me, caveman me.
I'll just bring you a piece of mutton. I'll bring you a turkey leg. And other than that, it was a fantastic holiday. I had a great time. I did not have any. I'm trying to think if there were any significant altercations of any kind.
Really?
And I do not believe there were. It was a very nice Christmas. Everybody came over to our house. The night before, we went to my sister-in-law's house. We moved into a new place, and it was peaceful. We met my other brother-in-law's new woman who came from Asia, and it was...
It was a mail order bride?
No, not mail order. No, it was a mail order bride.
What you telling me?
It was fun. It was, and he brought me my best, one of my best Christmas presents, which was a new Irish whiskey that I'd never discovered.
Oh, brother.
I discovered it's called Tullamore Irish Dew for, you know, anyone that wants to send a gift. It was just wonderful. I'm not really, as much as I like to have a drink once in a while.
Really?
I do not, I'm not a whiskey drinker, but this was just very pleasant on the palate, and it was a full bottle on Christmas Day, and we don't have any anymore.
Oh, really?
It was pretty yummy. I actually went out and bought a bottle of it after that, by myself.
You're on the second bottle now.
Yeah, but I haven't opened either one of the second or the third bottles.
Brother.
I don't like it, though. But Merry Christmas and Happy New Year there.
Caller 100 time right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Doing great, thank you. Who is this?
This is Mrs. Frank.
Mrs. Frank?
Yeah.
Mrs. Frank. Mrs. Barney Frank.
No.
Mrs. Barney Frank.
I have a wife. Right. Come on.
I know he does.
Listen, am I the 100th caller?
Yes, you are. You are the 100th caller. And you have won a pair of tickets to the NFC Wild Card playoff game this Saturday.
Saturday.
Right.
It's Saturday, Zolly. How old are you, my love?
Oh, you don't really want to know.
Are you on a game to guess how old this lady is?
Let's have a little game here.
Every what?
I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
She's 55.
I'm going to say she's 65.
Buzzy?
I'll take it.
I'll say 62. 62.
Robbie, you want to play?
Yeah.
How old is she?
70.
How old are you, honey?
How old? Honey, how about 79.
You're 79?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Rob, you're the big winner.
Fantastic.
Robbie, you're the big winner.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Listen.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Baby, get in your horseless carriage this weekend.
Come on, boys.
Go to the NFC Wild Card playoff game this Saturday, courtesy of 1-800-MATTRESS. If you need a new mattress, call 1-800-MATTRESS.
Call 1-800-WHAT?
They're a great mercantile. 1-800-MATTRESS.
You're nuts.
I know. Thank you. Hold on there, baby. Hold on there.
I'm holding on.
I said hold on.
I am.
All right, Mama Soprano. Hold on a second. Enjoy your playoff tickets. We'll give away more in a minute. We'll be back right after this.
is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140 KHT.
South Carolina. It's exactly 6 o'clock. And you're hearing this show on 98.1 WPEK-FM. The Peak in Greenville.
They are the hair in your eclair. Don and Mike.
I go right. Trying to be my We're back. We're here. Friend. We're not going to be gone for months now.
No way.
Right. I'm like serving a long-term sentence. We had our vacations.
We did indeed.
We're here now.
That's right.
For months and months. Trust me. You'll be sick of us.
Quit your belly aching.
Very soon you're going to be saying, when are you going to play the tapes again? But for now, we're here.
Right.
A bunch of things happened over the holiday break. Some of them I know are probably too old to discuss. And at some point, I would like to talk about that idiot that broke into George Harrison's house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think there's any truth to the rumor that Ringo begging somebody to break into his house. Just begging, please.
Here we go. I'll stand in front of my window, and I'll leave the doors open, okay? You can come right in, and this time I'll make it a sharper knife, okay? Thank you.
And did you see the guy?
Yeah, the guy. Just, I mean, he didn't look... they said he was 35? 33 years old, and he didn't look... He looked like he was 14.
At George Harrison's house, his castle that he lives at in London... It's $2 million for security, yet this guy managed to get in somehow and break a kitchen window.
Yeah, it's astonishing when you think of the money that he had invested in security. I mean, more than the average rock star, more than the average happening rock star.
When they first announced that story, I thought, oh, my God.
Right.
Right? Oh, my God. That's it. George Harrison. Someone has broken into his home.
And wasn't it a struggle for like 10 minutes?
Yeah. And finally,
one thing that he broke in, but I mean, after the fact, isn't there a button that somebody could...
Well, then his wife came in and banged the guy with an ashtray or something.
Otherwise, hit him over the head with a lamp, and otherwise, he's dead. I mean, really, and you just wonder what were they paying for with 2 minutes. I think they had guards.
Money well spent. Honey, but the cold was... It's not working. It's not slowing him down.
Hi, I'm George Harrison. I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara, and I'm sure they never play my records either. Play some of my records, and maybe I will listen to it.
He's the only Beatle we ever had do a drop-in for us.
That's right. I got that.
I got that one personally. Way back at Wembley Stadium. But was it Wembley Hall? Whatever the arena
Wembley
was.
Wembley Stadium.
Wembley.
London.
It was the Prince's Trust concert.
Right. So I wanted to mention that. Oh, I also wanted to tell you, I read something today in the paper. You know, all this political correctness crap, really, I've had it up to here. When today I read about the racial slur that one hockey player made to another hockey player.
Oh, really?
In today's Post, they had a story about some guy who plays for some NHL team,
mm-hmm.
and he's playing against another team. And the guy on the other team was Canadian.
Okay.
So the guy knocks him down, you know, and he says, "Ah, you stupid frog."
Right. Right.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
He called the guy a frog.
Really?
And the Canadian guy says, "That is a racial slur."
Are you kidding?
Against the French. Right.
So yeah, there's the separation in Canada between the, you know, the English...
Robbie, give me the style, no, I'm taking it back, the sports from the Post today.
All right.
That is, without a doubt, the wacky... Now, we, you know, hey,
we've been involved in some wacky ones ourselves.
Sure.
You know, why
it just seems strange that in...
people are really, really getting crazy about this, but that's a nutty one, to call a guy a frog, and then they come out and say that you're being... racially motivated in that.
Seems strange. It seems a little...
French people ain't green, man.
Mm-hmm. About half the Canadian population is French Canadian, I think. So that would be like calling, you know, half of the country frogs, for example.
That is the wackiest one I ever heard.
I mean, that's picking on a big group there.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't...
But to call them frogs...
In the heat of battle in a hockey game,
right.
I don't...
Exactly.
I don't understand.
So this player is...
Well, let me get the story here.
Crying foul over this?
Yeah. He's all upset.
Interesting.
I apologize.
Oh, I thought that was the story coming in, but that's just our egghead producer.
Charles Loring Broyhill, who we haven't had the pleasure of saying Happy New Year to yet.
No, he's in an awful mood, incidentally.
Is he in a foul mood?
Yeah.
He hasn't been very communicative. That's how he should be. He won the Fantasy Football League.
He's already just in a bad mood. He's been in a bad mood all day today.
Mm-hmm. That's because we're back.
Thank you, Robbie.
Thank you very much.
Why are you in such a bad mood, Charlie?
Well, that's okay. Don't answer.
He's not even answering.
No. Nope.
Charlie!
Uh-huh.
You could at least step up to the microphone and say hello.
I told you.
He's French.
Just being a pisser today.
God, he's a handful.
He's a handful.
You see, he finished what he had to do.
Thank you,
he finished what he had to do.
Oh, he fell. Okay, he was looking for this tape right here. The frog tape.
Okay, yeah, Larry King.
All right. Proposal
Prospel, excuse me, Prospel apologizes for ethnic slur.
Prospel?
Valka Prospel of the Senators apologized yesterday to French Canadians for using an ethnic slur against Patrice Brisbois of the Montreal Canadiens.
Any relation to Daniel Brisbois?
But he refused to apologize to Brisbois. Brisbois, who is French-Canadian, said Prospel called him a frog during a 4-4 tie in Ottawa.
Now, it sounds to me like
said,
Prospel is an Eastern European player. That's what the name would indicate.
The slur was preceded by an obscenity. So he must have called him like an
F-squared. Right.
F-squared. Propsel, who is Czech.
Czech, right.
Czechoslovakia.
Sure, yeah, I thought he was an East. That sounded East.
Said
European.
Before his game last night with the Hurricanes, he did not know the remark was an insult.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's an insult, but I don't know whether it's the kind of insult. I don't know. I mean, who knows?
How is it an ethnic slur to call a Canadian a frog?
Well, it's an ethnic slur because it's a derogatory term. Like, an ethnic slur for me being an Irish-American would be a Mick, and that's the same. It is that, but I mean, it just seems to me that it would...
Does that make sense? A frog?
Well, that's what it is.
I've never heard anybody object to that until now.
Well, no, I mean, it is.
Of course, make no mistake about it.
It is an ethnic slur. It is. No question. That's a fact. I mean, a hockey player in the heat of battle, it's been used. I know it's been used between French Canadian players too,
right.
Where you'd use it, and it's kind of used lightheartedly. I didn't think that it would be something that would make a news headline.
Why is it racial, though? Is it because French people eat frogs? Like, eat frogs legs?
No, it's just, I think it's been a derogatory term for French Canadians. It's always been that. My grandfather,
man.
See, I'm part French Canadian, so I mean, my grandfather was.
We've never heard that before.
Yeah, I'm part French Canadian. I've heard of that. Well, what? What do you mean?
Your love of Canada. I tried to bash Canada all these many years on this
show.
Sure,
absolutely. But I mean, it's not, I've heard that for years and years.
You've got some green blood in you, that is what you're saying.
And French Canadian.
You've got some frog blood in you.
Frog blood, yes. And frog is not a term that disturbs me. I don't get it. There's certain people that it, you know, just like if somebody was to call me a Mick, it doesn't get me upset. But I'm sure you know every group has its factions
and I don't
that
know
get
what
upset
a,
about that.
I don't know what a Mick is, but
right,
but it would be
a derogatory term for the Irish. I mean, I know you're just trying to get to the origins of where the word comes
frog.
From.
Frog. If I call somebody, you know, a dog or a cat.
Yeah, but
or a turtle. You know, I mean that's. How is that ethnic? I mean, I know that Mick is a racial slur. I don't know what a Mick is.
But frog is that. I mean, I'm just telling you that it is. And I've known that forever, for a long time.
Well, for the 7 years I've been in America, this hockey player says, what I learned was every time you make fun of French guys or something, you would say that. I guess I didn't understand it was a racial comment.
There it is right there. And he learned that playing in the NHL. He learned that because he probably heard a guy from Winnipeg say that to a guy from Ontario, you know, because it's just, or Montreal, or that's the way. And in Canada,
funny,
you get a guy from the western part of Canada, or the non-French Canadian parts of Canada, that would use that as a derogatory term for the French Canadian speaking parts of Canada. That's the way that's used.
That's funny, man.
It is. It's weird. It's weird that it became a big. What, so the guy that got that was the recipient of it decided to make it a big deal by going public with it.
He's the guy who says this guy called him an effing frog during the game.
Oh, okay, and so he probably said it to a reporter. I'd love to know the whole history of where that, you know, whether the guy was like being interviewed after the game and then said that, and then somebody picked up on it.
Says Prospel called him a frog during the 4-4 tie.
Yeah.
Said the slur was preceded by an obscenity. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike?
Effing frog.
I've heard that before, incidentally.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, it is a long historical term that's been used against the French because they eat frog legs.
Ah, there you go.
It goes back hundreds of years. Like, it's like calling the...
Well, that's what I had just thought.
There it is.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's like why they call the English limeys, because they eat limes all the time where they're used to on their ships and stuff.
All right, thank you, my friends. Hey, you can find out everything.
Hello.
Well, welcome and join us again for another segment of Ethnic Slurs.
I love Don and Mike show. Who knew? And we've been calling Larry King a frog because
he looks like a frog.
Because he looks like a frog.
Right, that's totally different.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
And also, I was always taught, I am from Canada, and Western Canadians are certainly, or French Canadians are looked down upon. It was also about how they spoke, because they kind of spoke in a ribbit. So we always called a French Canadian a frog, which was one step down from calling them a Montpellier Tabernacle.
Well, what? See, when he made that statement where French Canadians are looked down upon, that's what, well, French Canadians would look down on that guy.
Right.
In his part of Canada.
Right.
It is a, and then you have a separate Newfoundland in that part of Canada, which I believe I've heard the term Newfie used, and there are like Newfie jokes, which are dumb guy jokes.
Oh, they're like Parlon jokes. I've heard those before.
And that's the, so it goes, you know, it goes through the whole country. They got a lot more problems up there in the Great White North than you would think.
I used to really love a good Polak joke.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when they used to get, like, Polak joke books? You'd be able to go to the store and buy a whole book of jokes about Polaks?
Yeah.
That was great.
It was, you don't hear those as much anymore.
No, and then it was blonde jokes for a while.
Yeah, I think one day you read the list of blonde jokes that we have.
Now you don't have any good jokes.
There's no group that's, joked about.
No.
And nobody's written any new blonde. Blonde jokes would be the last.
That was the last
jokes that really were, you know,
big rage.
Lots of them.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, listen, I'm from northern Vermont, and we're right on the Quebec border.
That's French-Canadian, that's French-Canada.
Right, and this is total BS. They always were called frogs because they would come to U.S. and not tip anybody. And they had a kind of a bad attitude against America.
Yeah, as much as I'm sitting here going, hey, making much ado, but then you hear stuff like this, and you can feel it building, can't you? As more and more people are coming in. They'd come in. Here's why it happened.
I don't know.
All I say is, who says racial intolerance is rooted in stupidity?
Hello, last guy. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
If anybody remembers, there was a big war that, you know, every French poodle was trying to run from. They jumped the pond to Canada instead of fighting.
Who did?
That's why the French. Instead of staying
no,
home
you
and
don't know that.
Country,
you're speaking out of your butt.
No.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Goodbye.
For six versions. I had no idea that fags, now we're fags. I had no idea.
You call us fags?
No, I called them fags.
Who?
The French.
The French.
Oh, you're...
This guy is just, right. It's coming out of somewhere.
It comes from WW2.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
All right, thank you.
Oh, you're gay.
You're gay.
See, now you are calling us fags.
Not that there's anything wrong with that,
of course.
As long as I've been living, the French have been f***ing here.
Right, Artie.
Yeah.
It was so nice on the first day back. It's a lovely dance we dance, isn't it?
A quick break, and we'll be right back with plenty more.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140 KHDK. Your home of the Kings. The Duralast Gold Battery from AutoZone with an 8-year warranty and 3 years free replacement. Duralast Gold beats the others. Gold. The Duralast Gold Battery. AutoZone.
He's a bitch, or he's a nasty guy. He's just a guy.
You know what? I would maybe agree with you as long as we could take Kathy Lee Gifford out of the equation.
You take Kathy Lee out of the equation, she's got a point. I mean, if a guy does that,
let's
it's like...
Let's take her out of it. Okay,
yeah, you're right. I think you're absolutely
Kathy
right.
Kathy Lee! She's a bitch!
Right, okay, she's a bitch. You're right.
Good.
Here's what the Washington Post wrote about Kevin today.
All right.
During the third half hour...
Well, just for the record, this is how long it took Buzz...
Oh, no, this is from Rabe.
Buzz actually very quickly got your New York Post.
This is Rabe got me this out of the Washington Post.
All right, go.
During the third half hour, billionaire and aspiring presidential candidate Donald Trump, blah, 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 later came the lamest and most shameless pre-tape segment, a so-called tour of the neighborhood conducted by Kevin James, star of the CBS sitcom The King of Queens. Is the GM building in Queens? No, but, well, it's obvious why James was there. He wasn't any funnier stumbling through the piece than he is on his own show.
Wow.
Ouch!
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
Ouch, that hurts.
Pretty nasty stuff there.
You don't think we should call this person?
Well, frankly, I don't know if he would take our call today or not.
Why?
I mean, all right, Charlie, try to ring Tom Shales up.
What's the attitude about him?
Tell him we have Leah on the line. Yeah, if he's there, I bet he would come on with us.
Yeah, he's done that before.
What?
Is any friends of yours?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's an acquaintance. I wouldn't call him a friend.
He's been on the show. He's usually very accessible for us. He usually comes on when we want to talk about something.
He generally comes on once a year for sure.
Right.
When he writes, every year he writes, Leah, the most eloquent, beautiful, anti-Kathy Lee column when he rips apart her annual Christmas show.
Right.
And what he does is he comes on our show the day before it's in the newspaper and he gives us a preview of it and he sends me a copy of it. I get to read it real dramatically with music and stuff underneath and he gets a kick out of it. And it's like, it's our big exclusive with Tom Shales.
Right, because he wants to promote his newspaper.
Yeah.
Right, and because he hates Kathy Lee like we hate Kathy Lee.
But let's also see what he, you know.
How are you going to handle him, Leah, if we do get him on? How would you approach Mr. Shales if we got him on the
Well,
line?
I would say, is there not one thing you could say nice about Kevin?
Okay.
I mean, out of all the time, you know, weeks and weeks now, 2 years we've been on the air, you know, there's not one 22-minute segment that Kevin made you smile.
Now, that might be...
The fact that people, you know, have a very hard time making it in this business.
Now, I think there might be...
What he chose to write about him.
There might be, actually. He may have very well written something nice about Kevin in the past. I'm not sure whether he has or hasn't.
You know what I'm getting from his little mouthy.
You may actually be thinner skinned than we are.
Yeah.
I mean, you're having the type of reaction to this that we do in the Washington Post, right?
That's what I love about this lady. That's great.
Well, because I'm very sensitive
about it. It's natural. And you're honest about it.
Well, I hate when people get to do stuff with no repercussions of it.
I agree.
Oh, that's how me and Mike make our living.
Absolutely.
Now.
Oh, well, yeah, that's
like
us.
If you're going to do something, you should be man enough to hear the other side of it.
Yeah, but you know, we don't.
That's the great thing about doing the show, because when people call me with the other side, I just hang up on them.
And we don't affect anybody, really.
Yeah, right.
Anybody that would take us seriously is a fool.
All right, Robbie is dialing up the personal number for Tom Shales of the Washington Post right now.
And we'll see if we can get him on with you.
Robbie, what's happening?
It was busy before, now it's ringing.
It's ringing,
hey,
okay.
Jackie?
Oh, he's on the other line right now.
He's on the other line?
Yeah.
Can you leave him a message?
I will, yes.
All right, hold on. Leah, you'll hear Robbie leave the message. He's on the other line right now.
I'm not going to say anything.
Okay, you don't have to say anything.
Hi, Mr. Shales. It's Rob Spiewak here with the Don and Mike Show. And Don and Mike had a question for you regarding your review of the Brian Gumbel Show. If you could please call us today.
Tell him that Leah Remini's on the line.
He said that?
Leah Remini shows with Kevin James. And the King of Queens is on the line with us. So if you could call us that, it would sure be great. Thanks.
Leah, surrounded by incompetence.
What happened?
I swear to God. Buzz, congratulations.
Yes?
You've just moved up in the pecking order.
Oh, second from the bottom.
Yes!
Congratulations. A reason to go on living.
What happened?
Oh, what happened is Rob was making the call to Tom Shales' answering machine. And
the it didn't convey the fact that we were, like, here live with you right now.
It was just like his standard, hi, Mr. Shales, this is Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike would like to talk with you about, we have Leah Remini, who's the star of the Kevin James Show, on with us right now.
And she's got a bone to pick with you.
Right.
Which is the truth.
Robbie, call back. You know what?
Leah, do you want to talk to Rob?
Conference the numbers together. I'll leave him the message.
Oh, hold on. What?
What?
Know that he has failed us right at the...
Yes, Leah, I'm going to just call myself. You can hear. I'm going to leave the voicemail myself for Shale.
Do it up, baby.
Here we go.
Do it up.
Charlie Broyhill has now entered the studio. Lots going on here today.
I left a message for him also.
Okay. Third message.
All right, this will be the personal touch.
Mm-hmm. All
right. Tommy, yeah.
Michelle, do you think...
Boy.
Quiet. You sound like Miss Bobby.
Man, that's great. Have you done Broadway?
Anywho.
Let him hear you in the bathroom.
Sitting here.
Hello.
Left on this machine will bring comfort and hope to a cranky old shut-in.
Wow.
Hey, Tom.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
It's not like the Jews. This is Bud. I get my head cut on the cowbell. I ain't never been in the barbershop and heard a bunch of brothers talking about Jews. Black people don't hate Jews. Black people hate white people. You know that time to dice white people up in a little group? I hate everybody. I don't care if you just got here. Hey, I'm Romanian, you Romanian crap.
Yo, they're whack. Don and Mike.
We have more Redskins playoff tickets, and we'll be giving away an Uno Momento.
All right, big game coming up Saturday.
And postponed from
1999, sometime soon, Robbie, we're going to have to bring out that box of records to find the worst song of the millennium.
Got records, got CDs, got LPs. This is going to be a fun trip.
So much to choose from.
Yeah,
we got tons of stuff. We never got to it before the end of the year last year. That's coming up. Also, the brand new, totally retooled Las Vegas-style show.
All right.
Mm. Make It Gets Triumphant Return very soon. Details. TBA.
Name retooled.
To be announced. Hello, Donald Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was holding for your email address.
You were holding for our email address?
Really?
Come on.
Come on, guys.
All right, here it is. Break into me house at AOL.com.
No, I wanted to send Mike an email about his advert for the NIH benefit game.
You mean for the hockey game that I'm flying in?
Yeah.
An advert, Mike.
An advert.
The wrong accent.
Well, which way are you from?
Well, have a guess.
I say you're from New Zealand.
No.
From the UK.
No.
I'll say Australia.
No.
Okay, I'll say Green Bay.
Now I'll say South Africa.
Yes.
South Africa. Really?
Yes, I am.
Well, that's great, but, you know, that kind of business, call the main number.
Well, I didn't have the main number. I was trying to win the Redskins ticket, but then I thought about the NIH thing.
For the advert.
Well, I wanted to tell Mike what a good thing he's doing.
Well, thank you very much. We'll have it. You know, but don't worry about the advert, because we'll have another advert at the end of the show for that.
No, it's not an advert. I wanted to write and tell you that a very good friend of mine, who's 24 years old, was diagnosed with cancer of the lymph nodes and went into NIH. And then I heard your advert, and I wanted to tell you what a good thing you were doing.
Well, everybody's doing a good thing, so I heard you come out to see the benefit game, okay?
I'm going to. Thanks,
all right,
Mike.
Thanks for listening to the advert.
Thank you.
God bless.
Well, you do so much, Mike, for so many.
I do, Don. I just can't stop giving.
And also, if you want to know why French people are all over the world are called French frogs, it's on the internet.
Of course it's on the internet.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, baby. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much.
For the advert.
The advert.
The advert.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I want the tickets.
Right, well, sit down and cross your legs. We're not giving them away now.
When are you giving them away?
Okay, first off, turn your radio down.
Radio is off.
No, now it's off.
I think it's off.
Definitely the radio is on, and we have like a bad cell phone also.
Right. Just keep listening. If I tell you exactly when we're giving the tickets away, it kind of ruins the purpose of having a radio contest.
Yes, I understand, but I have to get these tickets for my father.
All right, well then,
going to the boat.
Then you must keep listening to this show every single second.
For the rest of my life, for those tickets.
Yes, right.
Thanks for hot coffee and cocoa, Mr.
Thank you, writer.
Good night.
Mike, because you're going to the
boat.
How long do you think before the first song?
The
first Redskins song about going
Saturday
to the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
they have to win Saturday and get to the second tier.
They thought he was done, but Norv brought him back, and now, woo, we're going to the bowl. Going to the bowl. Super Bowl. Skin.
I was going to say, last time the Skins went to the Super Bowl, about 1991, this town, D.C., was inundated.
Absolutely.
With the most ridiculous parody songs,
right,
including one that was a parody of Moni Moni, the Billy Idol song.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, boom, 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 going through the bone, Super Bowl.
That was stupid.
We spent almost a whole month on our show just goofing on that song every day.
It was just, and you get that. You know, with every successful football team, you will get the song. The inevitable song that goes along with it. And probably more than one, you know?
We thought we were done, but now we're back with Brad Johnson, Daryl Green doing his part, Stephen has us believing. We've always loved you, Skin. We've always been there, Skin. And now we're going back to the bowl, to the bowl. Thanks to Snyder. He's taking us higher. We're going all the way.
Coming.
Thanks to Trey.
man. That's great.
Our printer's a jerk. His name is friggin' Matt Turk.
Oh, man. We're really rolling. Even Mike Nolan.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I love the Redskins. They're my favorite team.
Mm-hmm.
But this town...
Yeah, this town goes a little mental.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, the Redskins fans have this jive persona.
Yeah.
Of being the best football fans in the world.
Sure.
And as a matter of fact, you're going to hear that now again.
Oh, the
now,
greatest fans in the world.
Now that the Redskins are back in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
the Redskins fans, again, will anoint themselves as the greatest fans in the world.
Greatest fans in the NFL.
Right, because it's easy to root for a team
right.
that wins all its games.
They are the greatest fans when they're winning in the NFL.
I agree.
You know, that's the truth. When they're winning, they're the greatest fans in the NFL. Bar none. Nobody attaches to their team when they are winning better than the Redskins fans.
But when the Redskins lose, it's not that people don't go to the games. Because
they go to the games.
People have gone to the games regardless of the win or lose.
Right.
But when the Redskins lose, there's no excitement about the team.
No. Yeah. And the only thing they had to root for last year was Impeach Norv. They were the greatest Impeach Norv fans in the NFL.
Right.
With
that's
signs
right.
and everything.
Right. That's right.
It's great. Right. People go mental now. They really
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, I just want to know if you guys saw a Tyson last night trying to throw the ball on the national championship game.
Oh, our friend Joe Theismann, I did see that. That was a very girly-like throw that he made.
He robbed the guy of $1.5 million. He came up on the first throw and put it right through the middle.
Yeah, the guy had to... You see the guy...
No, I didn't see that halftime.
He made a sarcastic remark, actually. He's like, thanks a lot, Joe.
To win $1 million, they had this guy from the stands who had to throw a football through. They had a giant... Internet commercialized now. A big
right.
Nokia cellular phone.
Yep.
This giant-sized, big-ass phone.
Right.
And had to throw the football... Right through the hole where you listen.
Okay.
So Theismann went up first, and because Theismann got it right through it, like blew the chance for this guy to win $2 million.
Oh, so he really threw it through, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So they won for four.
That's a typical Joe, though. Yeah, I mean, it's just going to go up. He's going to throw it right through. Hey, and then he's going to give the guy a look. There, you think you can do it now?
Yeah.
Joe Theismann. That's his real name, is Theismann.
Yeah, for me.
Yeah, so you actually... changed the pronunciation of his name so that it would rhyme with Heisman when he wanted to win the Heisman Trophy.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don, on my show. And Mike Patrick, the guy who works with his real name is Mike Peeker.
God, I didn't know that either.
Hello.
Yeah, Don.
Hello there.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Who's the third guy in their booth now? The hell is
oh, the old guy.
The old guy. I got a mouthful of
what's
guy
name? Paul McGuire.
Yes.
Paul McGuire.
Paul McGuire.
Paul McQueer.
That's why he changed it.
Super Bowl!
Paul McQueer, Mike Patrick, and Joe Theismann.
That's the three of them.
Hello?
Yeah, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, I had a question for you. Right before the first game against Dallas at home...
Boomer changed his name, too, on Monday. That's what it used to be. Boomer Esiason. And he just changed it to an E-S instead of the A.
Smart move.
Should have been there. But Boomer
Esiason. Okay, what?
Okay, before the first Dallas game, you were making predictions on the pregame show as far as the final season record for the Redskins.
Yes.
And I couldn't remember...
I think I predicted 10-6 there. First place of the NFC.
Don, way to go, man.
Thank you, man.
NFC championship?
I
NFC championship?
First place, 10-6.
How do you do
it? Said Norvity, coach of the year.
Coach of the year is something about Jan Arino being doable, but...
Yeah. I didn't remember what you said on the air, but I do remember that's what you said to me in the office. You said they're going to go 10-6.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Don and Wag, Radio God.
Hello.
Do you remember my favorite Redskin parody was Uptown Girl? Back in 83, they changed Uptown Girl to the Super Bowl.
You're going to the Super Bowl.
I remember that one. Yuck.
Those other guys will wonder what went wrong when they find themselves at fourth and long. They'll know what's wrong. I can't listen to that song without thinking Super Bowl.
Thank you, my friend.
Going to the Super Bowl.
I think we played that one too, that Uptown Girl.
I'm sure we did.
Yeah.
Hello, last call, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
That's all right. Hold on a second. What am I doing?
Is there somebody with hot coffee in the cocoa for us?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, now what have I done? Have I just screwed up all the telephones?
Oh. Here's a shot of the hardworking fans playing cards to sleep overnight.
Come on, bitches. How you doing?
Did you call us your bitches?
And then he hung up.
No,
and
then he was gone. It got, right. You know, it didn't. It took this long until we got right into the weird mode.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Hey, did you hear about the Regis was in the news this morning?
Why?
He was warming up a crowd for his millionaire show, and someone asked him what Kathy Lee was doing, and he said she's probably home giving Cody a bath, and Cody's getting old now, so he likes it. And that was in the news this morning that he's in trouble for that.
Buzz, is that in the news?
It was in the news. He's not in trouble for it, and he said she enjoys giving Cody a bath now that Cody's getting older.
Oh, I got it mixed up.
Another one of our junior journalists
said he was in trouble.
Another one of our JJs out there.
Don't you love it, Buzz, when you gather some of those stories together and a guy like this calls in 5 seconds before you're going to go on with the news and urinates all over it?
It actually makes my job easier.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Buzz.
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye.
Thank you, sir.
Well, we have Buzz here, my friend.
Why are we getting in trouble for that? I mean,
no, he hasn't. He hasn't gotten in trouble.
Why was it in the news then? Because it was released by the PR firm for the show.
No, because somebody was at one of the tapings and then told the New York Post about it. Well, you know, frankly, Kathy Lee is, Cody's a little bit old to be bathed by mommy.
Why? Cody's a old Cody.
Well,
he wasn't really getting bathed by her. That's just what Regis said. He wasn't really.
Oh.
Somebody said, where's Kathy Lee? She's giving Cody a bath.
Oh, so she doesn't really give Cody a bath.
We don't know. I think there might be a 50-50 shot at that.
That's what Reed is saying.
Does she give him bath?
Well, I don't know. I'm not there, and Reed doesn't know either. But he said that he thinks Kathy Lee enjoys giving Cody a bath.
I took regular baths when I'd come home from college.
Now that Cody's getting old,
I'd be bathed.
All right, hello.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
They were great.
Hey, hello. Don.
Yes, last
hey, Mike.
Really, last call. Hello.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
Beep, beep. Hey,
what?
I got a question. Two things, actually. First of all, Joe Theismann missed three of them, which, you know, knocked this guy out of winning up to $2 million.
But he did make the fourth one, right?
Well, he made one, and which only gave him $50,000, and the guy made one himself. And he added a zero to make $100,000.
Right, the guy did okay. If Theismann had gotten it through all four times, the guy would have won $2 million.
Right. But Theismann's such a jerk anyway. But
well, I thought he was trying to throw it through the stupid telephone.
He tried, but I still think he's a jerk personally.
Why?
A long time ago, I asked him for a picture, and he turned away.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure he heard you?
Yeah, he did. He did. But with this Cox Cable thing in Fairfax, if I get dishes like you guys have, will I be able to get Fox?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Never ask me for a picture, though.
And I don't want a picture of you,
okay.
Fat ass.
But you just dislike everybody.
Well, you're all right. I like Howard Stern better.
So you've got an axe to grind with a lot of people.
Not you.
Not you, Mike.
Oh, Mike? Yeah, well, I like Billy West better than Mike.
I have no idea what this guy's on.
I don't know who he's talking about either, but you seem like an angry man.
Right. No wonder Joe Theismann turned you down.
Mama Bowie.
And now you're calling to say that.
Mama Bowie.
Please, come on. Do you think you're the first asshole that's ever called this show?
No, I've called this show many a times and said Baba Bowie.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember me, Don?
No.
Toss your salad.
What?
Toss your salad.
You seem to choke on that a little bit. But I guess you often do.
Hang up now.
I got all the patience of a saint.
Hang up.
I've been waiting for 3 weeks. First A-hole of the new year.
Ready for you.
Hang up.
Absolutely ready for you.
This is Robert Abouli from Fairfax.
Uh-huh. There you go. Turn the radio up so you can hear your pathetic attempt at being funny on this show. Just remember while you're driving down the road who's talking into the radio right now and who's driving in their car listening to the radio right now.
Baba Bowie. Baba Bowie.
But that has no effect on us.
We can continue. We do have the patience of saints.
Baba Bowie.
And you're the only guy who's paying for this.
No effect on us.
Keep turning your radio up. You're still on the radio. Makes no difference to me, man.
Baba Bowie.
You're the guy that's going to have the cell bill this month of $100.
Baba Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
Baba Bowie. Baba Bowie. Baba Bowie. Baba Bowie.
Asshole.
Asshole says what?
He's so original. He's so
uh-huh.
incredibly original with his material.
I like all Howard Stern fans.
How much does what? Fat ass does what?
like all Howard Stern fans. Uneducated.
Aren't you the junior high dropout?
You know a lot about me.
Baba Booey.
Now, you do seem to know a little bit about this show.
Baba Booey. Baba Booey.
Apple.
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 Baba Booey. Baba Booey. Baba Booey. Baba Booey.
Apple. As I said.
Baba Booey. Baba Booey.
Apple Infinity.
Baba Booey. Baba Booey Infinity Plus One.
Great representative for the king of all media.
At least you know it.
Great emissary you are.
I'm very proud.
And we won.
We won. There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen,
good victory, as usual.
Thank you.
Sorry for putting you through that, but we, you know, sometimes just have to be more petty than that. Yes, Rob, get right on that.
Get that number. Keep it for the file. You know, I mean, maybe. After we've been back for a few months, we would have just hung up on that guy immediately.
No, we just had to, you know, hone the blade a little bit.
Right.
I had to. I'm going to make sure I got his number.
Let me just make sure I have this prankster's phone number.
And we appreciate him staying in line as long as he did.
Yeah. Not only did he have to pay for the call, but now we have his phone number.
Right.
And he hung up.
Doesn't seem to be answering right now.
Number. And he hung up.
All right, but he's still listening.
Very good.
Baba Booey Show.
Okay, we've got your number now.
Okay.
You do?
Yep. Sure do.
We've had it forever.
Yes, we do.
You had it for a while. You had it last year.
We had it last year.
Did we really?
Yeah.
All right, Rob, file this under A. Thank you.
All right. And we won. We just wanted to call. See, now we can hang up on you because we wanted to tell you
Robert,
that we actually did it.
Muzzy, what is your least story tonight?
Petty, we haven't lost that since we went on vacation.
Oh, damn, we're petty.
Tonight, the first lady is the first to move out.
Oh, right.
That's right.
Right.
But moving up for that job, right?
Right. Right. Okay.
And he's
right.
Really moving along with her, right? He's really going to be visiting the house and staying with her. He'll be along next week or so.
Did you hear he might move to Arkansas?
Yeah.
Yeah, that he might want to run for governor of Arkansas again or something like that.
My life is great. Separate but equal.
Listen, Buzz.
Yes.
News and comment coming up next. But first, let me lay this on you. A couple of Redskins playoff tickets.
All right.
Tickets for the Washington Redskins, Detroit Lions, NFC Wild Card playoff game this Saturday.
Wow.
Be the 100th non-asshole to call this show.
I'm an idiot, Steve.
At 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Dawn and Mike.
You can love your pet, but just don't love your pet. You know what I mean?
Mike and Don's are. It's like I feel because just backwards won this lead. I don't think I hate.
Hey. Call her 100 times.
All right.
Give away these playoff tickets right now. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, am I calling number 100?
Yes, you are.
Hey, all right.
What is your name?
My name is Kevin. I'm calling from Iowa City, Iowa.
Oh, Kevin. I can't give you these playoff tickets because you don't live here.
I have to live in town?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We said that before, John.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's all right. You're a very big fan of the show. That's okay.
Hold on. Let me give you a prize, okay? Hold on.
Okay, great.
A Nantucket Nectar's prize pack. All natural Nantucket Nectar's. They're juice guys.
I agree, Rob. It's a great prize.
All right.
Thank you. Hold the line, please.
Thank you.
Duh. Shout out.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, everyone. Call 100.
It depends. Do you live in the D.C. area?
Yes, I do.
Yes, then you are caller 100.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a new century full of the most excited winners on radio.
Fantastic. Yes, you won the tickets. How do you feel about that?
I feel wonderful. Yeah, baby.
Okay, you've won tickets to the NFC Wildcard playoff game this Saturday, courtesy of 1-800-MATTRESS. If you need a new mattress, call 1-800-MATTRESS. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Look for the guy picking his nose on the 50-yard line.
Leave late, leave early.
Buzz?
Yes.
Let's get right to news.
All right, Len.
I'm telling you, I watch people on TV.
Right.
Stepping over each other.
Mm-hmm.
Children eating their young to get these tickets.
And that guy goes, yeah.
We get the tickets, and first we get a guy from Iowa. And then we get a guy from D.C. who's like comatose.
Yeah.
Numb with excitement.
Yeah, baby.
Hillary Clinton today became the first lady in history to move out of the White House before her husband.
Hillary Clinton.
She's moving, as you mentioned, so she'll be eligible to run for a Senate seat in New York State.
Hillary Clinton.
A spokeswoman says she'll try to be all settled in by the end of next week in time for a visit from her husband. But
Bill Clinton.
He actually flew up there this evening with her to help her move in.
Yeah, that's all for sure.
Yeah, she won't be getting a visit, though.
The Clintons.
That's with an N, of course.
Yes, of course it is.
Of course it is. She won't be getting a visit, Hillary won't, from fellow New York suburbanite David Letterman. He's made a running gag out of the fact that she's never accepted his open invitation to appear on his show. This week he said on the air, "We're rescinding the invitation. Don't even bother coming over."
It's your old pal Dave. I wonder if you would take a request.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go into real estate.
And then moving and he's there.
Man.
He's standing on the porch. Hi there, can I help you with some boxes?
With a timely real estate joke.
Well, that 6-year-old Cuban boy rescued from the waters off Florida is finally, apparently, going home.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
Go back to Cuba, I do.
U.S. government officials say they met with the boy's father and were convinced he is close to his son and that he really wants the boy to go back home to Cuba. The boy actually heads home for home sometime next week.
Good, and buy me some cigars.
There you go.
Good thing about you.
Now that we're sending him home, maybe that'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
Today, the money came back after what was referred to as a bloodbath on Wall Street yesterday. The blue chip stocks bounced back today. The Dow closed up 124 points. NASDAQ was down 24, but that's much better than the way it started the day.
It'll be money.
And Jane Fonda and her husband, Ken Turner. They separated after 8 years together. They say they're still committed to a long-term marriage, but they're also looking for a little personal time away from each other.
I want some personal time. Get some. I lost the right to Andy and Mayberry, Beverly Hillbillies. That Jane has left me.
Do you know that that's true, that Ted Turner lost the rights to Andy and Mayberry?
That's why they're getting separated.
And to Beverly Hillbillies?
And that's even more of a reason why they're getting separated. Lost the rights.
Well, Ted,
was that over the holidays that that happened?
January 1st.
He lost the rights. He also lost the rights to Gomer Pyle.
Really?
Yeah. He's like losing the backbone of his schedule.
He'll be lost without him.
You got Gettysburg.
That's right.
As long as America remembers the Civil War, he'll have programming.
Maybe series Gettysburg.
Isn't that George Washington thing on? Isn't that one of his networks, right?
With
Jeff Daniels? He was on here. You know, they know that they lost the rights to Gomer Pyle, but now I'm looking at two blank faces.
Still has Little House every morning at 9 and 10.
That's the important
two episodes
thing.
In a row.
I'm going to look in the paper and see if he's running the George Washington show. just bear with me. I saw a picture of it, and I think it is George Washington on one of the Turner networks, but I'm not sure.
I believe it is.
The World
Network.
He has all that programming, whether he produced it or not.
Can't find it. Big Lebowski is George Washington.
The guy from Dumb and Dumber is going to be George Washington.
Ted has talked publicly about seeing a marriage counselor. He also says he's not a saint and that adultery should not be one of the Ten Commandments.
Well, time for that.
Quoting Ted, if you're only going to have 10 rules, I don't know if adultery should be one of them.
This is
the third marriage for both Jane and Ted. And Rosie O'Donnell has a new baby. It's her third adoption in 4 years.
Yes, okay, all right.
Yeah, Rosie, who's shown no interest in getting pregnant or married, says she wants to have a big family.
You know, Buzz,
yes?
I want to talk about this.
Okay.
I want to do a break, then I want to come back and have an elongated discussion about how there are people in our listening audience right right now who want to have kids.
That's right.
Who desperately want to have kids.
Right.
Parent, I want to hear from somebody who's wannabe parents.
Mm-hmm.
Parents who can't believe.
Oh. This is Sam Huff.
Wow.
Well, I'm trying to be serious for a minute. There are people.
Yeah, you got him in back, yeah.
There are people listening to us now who can't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And these people will jump through goddamn hoops to adopt a baby.
And they do.
Yeah, don't make me laugh because I'm being serious.
Hi, this is Surf.
Forget, I'll tell you when we come back.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.